One email catches my eye. It's from Barney Sullivan, Christian's IT guy, and the subject line is, Jack Hyde. I glance guiltily at Christian, but he's still snoring gently. I've never heard him snore. I open the email. From Barney Sullivan. Subject, Jack Hyde. Date, September 13th, 2011, 14:09. To Christian Gray. CCTV around Seattle tracks the white van from South Irving Street. Before that, I can find no trace, so Hyde must have been based in that area. As Welch has told you, the unsub car was rented with a false license by an unknown female, though nothing that ties it to the South Irving Street area. Details of known GEH and SIP employees who live in the area are in the attached file, which I have forwarded to Welch, too. There was nothing on Hyde's SIP computer about his former PAs. As a reminder, here is a list of what was retrieved from Hyde's SIP computer. Gray's home addresses. 5 properties in Seattle, 2 properties in Detroit. Detailed resumes for Carrick Gray, Elliot Gray, Christian Gray, Dr. Grace Trevelyan, Anastasia Steele, Mia Gray. Newspaper and online articles relating to Dr. Grace Trevelyan, Carrick Gray, Christian Gray, Elliot Gray. Photographs. Carrick Gray, Dr. Grace Trevelyan, Christian Gray, Elliot Gray, Mia Gray. I'll continue my investigation, see what else I can find. B. Sullivan, Head of IT, GEH. This odd email momentarily sidetracks me from my night of woe. I click on the attachment to check through the names on the list, but it's obviously huge, too big to open on the BlackBerry. What am I doing? It's late. I've had a tiring day. There are no emails from the bitch troll or Layla Williams, and I take some cold comfort from that. I glance quickly at the alarm clock. It's just after 2 in the morning. Today has been a day of revelations. I am to be a mother, and my husband has been fraternizing with the enemy. Well, let him stew. I am not sleeping here with him. He can wake up alone tomorrow. After placing his BlackBerry on the bedside table, I retrieve my purse from beside the bed, and after one last look at my angelic, sleeping Judas, I leave the bedroom. The spare playroom key is in its usual place in the cabinet in the utility room. I grab it and scoot upstairs. From the linen closet, I retrieve a pillow, duvet, and sheet, then unlock the playroom door and enter, switching the lights to dim. Odd that I find the smell and ambiance of this room so comforting, considering I safe-worded the last time we were in here. I lock the door behind me, leaving the key in the lock. I know that tomorrow morning Christian will be frantic to find me, and I don't think he'll look in here if the door is locked. Well, it will serve him right. I curl up on the Chesterfield couch, wrap myself in the duvet, and drag my BlackBerry from my purse. Checking my texts, I find the one from the evil bitch troll that I forwarded from Christian's phone. I press forward and type. Would you like Mrs. Lincoln to join us when we eventually discuss this text she sent to you? It will save you running to her afterward. Your wife. I press send and switch the volume to mute. I huddle under my duvet. For all my bravado, I'm overwhelmed by the enormity of Christian's deceit. This should be a happy time. Geez, we're going to be parents. Briefly, I relive telling Christian that I'm pregnant, and fantasize that he falls to his knees with joy in front of me, pulling me into his arms and telling me how much he loves me and our little blip. Yet, here I am, alone and cold in a BDSM fantasy playroom. Suddenly, I feel old, older than my years. Taking on Christian was always going to be a challenge, but he really has surpassed himself this time. What was he thinking? Well, if he wants a fight, I'll give him a fight. No way am I going to let him get away with running off to see that monstrous woman whenever we have a problem. He's going to have to choose, her or me and our little blip. I sniffle softly, but because I'm so exhausted, I soon fall asleep. I wake with a start, momentarily disoriented. Oh yes, I'm in the playroom. Because there are no windows, I have no idea what time it is. The door handle rattles. Anna! Christian shouts from outside the door. I freeze, but he doesn't come in. I hear muffled voices, but they move away. I exhale and check the time on my BlackBerry. It's 7:50, and I have 4 missed calls and 2 voice messages. The missed calls are mostly from Christian, but there's also one from Kate. Oh, no. He must have called her. I don't have time to listen to them. I don't want to be late for work. I wrap the duvet around me and pick up my purse before making my way to the door. Unlocking it slowly, I peek outside. No sign of anyone. Oh, shit. Perhaps this is a bit melodramatic. I roll my eyes at myself, take a deep breath, and head downstairs. Taylor, Sawyer, Ryan, Mrs. Jones, and Christian are all standing in the entrance to the great room, and Christian is issuing rapid-fire instructions. As one, they all turn and gape at me. Christian is still wearing the clothes he slept in last night. He looks disheveled, pale, and heart-stoppingly beautiful. His large gray eyes are wide, and I don't know if he's fearful or angry. It's difficult to tell. Sawyer, I'll be ready to leave in about 20 minutes, I mutter, wrapping the duvet tighter around me for protection. He nods, and all eyes turn to Christian, who is still staring intensely at me. Would you like some breakfast, Mrs. Gray? Mrs. Jones asks. I shake my head. I'm not hungry, thank you. She purses her lips, but says nothing.
Where were you?
Christian asks, his voice low and husky. Suddenly, Sawyer, Taylor, Ryan, and Mrs. Jones scatter, scurrying into Taylor's office, into the foyer, and into the kitchen like terrified rats from a sinking ship. I ignore Christian and march toward our bedroom.
Anna,
he calls after me.
Answer me.
I hear his footsteps behind me as I walk into the bedroom and continue into our bathroom. Quickly, I lock the door.
Anna!
Christian pounds on the door. I turn on the shower. The door rattles.
Anna, open the damn door!
Go away!
I'm not going anywhere.
Suit yourself.
Anna, please.
I climb into the shower, effectively blocking him out. Oh, it's warm. The healing water cascades over me, cleansing the exhaustion of the night off my skin. Oh, my. This feels so good. For a moment, for one short moment, I can pretend all is well. I wash my hair, and by the time I've finished, I feel better, stronger, ready to face the freight train that is Christian Gray. I wrap my hair in a towel, briskly dry myself with another towel, and wrap it around me. I unlock the door and open it to find Christian leaning against the wall opposite, his hands behind his back. His expression is wary, that of a hunted predator. I stride past him and into our walk-in closet.
Are you ignoring me?
Christian asks in disbelief as he stands on the threshold of the closet. Perceptive, aren't you? I murmur absent-mindedly as I search for something to wear. Ah, yes. My plum dress. I slide it off the hanger, choose my high black stiletto boots, and head for the bedroom. I pause for Christian to step out of my way, which he does, eventually, his intrinsic good manners taking over. I sense his eyes boring into me as I walk over to my chest of drawers, and I peek at him in the mirror, standing motionless in the doorway, watching me. In an act worthy of an Oscar winner, I let my towel fall to the floor and pretend that I am oblivious to my naked body. I hear his restrained gasp and ignore it.
Why are you doing this?
He asks, his voice low. Why do you think? My voice is velvet soft as I pull out a pretty pair of black lace La Perla panties.
Anna.
He stops as I shimmy into them. Go ask your Mrs. Robinson. I'm sure she'll have an explanation for you. I mutter as I search for the matching bra.
Anna, I've told you before, she's not my—
I don't want to hear it, Christian. I wave my hand dismissively, The time for talking was yesterday, but instead, you decided to rant and get drunk with the woman who abused you for years. Give her a call. I'm sure she'll be more than willing to listen to you now. I find the matching bra and slowly pull it on and fasten it. Christian walks farther into the bedroom and places his hands on his hips.
Why were you snooping on me?
He says. In spite of my resolve, I flush. That's not the point, Christian, I snap at him. Fact is, the going gets tough, and you run to her. His mouth settles into a grim line.
It wasn't like that.
I'm not interested. Picking a pair of black thigh highs with lacy tops, I retreat to the bed. I sit, point my toe, and gently ease the gossamer material up to my thigh.
Where were you?
He asks, his eyes following my hands up my legs, but I continue to ignore him as I slowly roll on the other stocking. Standing, I bend to towel dry my hair. Through my parted thighs, I can see his bare feet, and I sense his intense gaze. When I've finished, I stand and step back to the chest of drawers, where I grab my hairdryer.
Answer me.
Christian's voice is low and husky. I switch on the hairdryer so I can no longer hear him and watch him through my lashes in the mirror as I finger dry my hair. He glares at me, eyes narrow and cool, chilling even. I look away, focusing on the task at hand and trying to suppress the shiver that runs through me. I swallow hard and concentrate on drying my hair. He's still mad. He goes out with that damned woman, and he's mad at me? How dare he? When my hair looks wild and untamed, I stop. Yes, I like it. I switch off the hairdryer.
Where were you?
He whispers, his tone arctic. What do you care?
Anna, stop this now.
I shrug, and Christian moves quickly across the room toward me. I whirl around, stepping back as he reaches out.
Don't touch me,
I snap, and he freezes.
Where were you?
He demands, his hands fist at his side.
I wasn't out getting drunk with my ex,
I seethe.
Did you sleep with her?
He gasps.
What? No.
He gapes at me and has the gall to look wounded and angry at the same time. My subconscious breathes a small, welcome sigh of relief.
You think I'd cheat on you?
His tone is one of moral outrage.
You did, I snarl, by taking our very private life and spilling your spineless guts to that woman.
His mouth drops open.
Spineless? That's what you think?
His eyes blaze.
Christian, I saw the text. That's what I know. That text was not meant for you,
he growls. Well, fact is, I saw it when your BlackBerry fell out of your jacket while I was undressing you because you were too drunk to undress yourself.
Do you have any idea how much you've hurt me by going to see that woman?
He pales momentarily, but I'm on a roll, my inner bitch unleashed.
Do you remember last night when you came home? Remember what you said?
He stares at me blankly. His face frozen.
Well, you were right. I do choose this defenseless baby over you. That's what any loving parent does. That's what your mother should have done for you. And I am sorry that she didn't, because we wouldn't be having this conversation right now if she had. But you're an adult now. You need to grow up and smell the fucking coffee and stop behaving like a petulant adolescent. You may not be happy about this baby. I'm not ecstatic, given the timing and your less-than-lukewarm reception to this new life, this flesh of your flesh, but you can either do this with me, or I'll do it on my own. The decision is yours. While you wallow in your pit of self-pity and self-loathing, I'm going to work, and when I return, I'll be moving my belongings to the room upstairs.
He blinks at me, shocked.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I'd like to finish getting dressed.
I am breathing hard. Very slowly, Christian retreats one step, his demeanor hardening.
Is that what you want?
He whispers.
I don't know what I want anymore.
My tone mirrors his, and it takes a monumental effort to feign disinterest while I casually dip the tips of my fingers into my moisturizer and smooth it gently over my face. I peer at myself in the mirror, blue eyes wide, face pale but cheeks flushed. You're doing great. Don't back down now. Don't back down now.
You don't want me?
He whispers. Oh, no. Oh, no, you don't, Gray.
I'm still here, aren't I?
I snap. Taking my mascara, I apply some first to my right eye.
You've thought about leaving?
His words are barely audible. When one's husband prefers the company of his ex-mistress, it's usually not a good sign. I pitch the disdain at just the right level, evading his question. Lip gloss now. I pout my shiny lips at the image in the mirror. Stay strong, Steel. Gray. Holy fuck, I can't even remember my name. I pick up my boots, stride over to the bed once more, and quickly put them on, tugging them up over my knees. Yep, I look hot just in underwear and boots. I know. Standing, I gaze dispassionately at him. He blinks at me, and his eyes travel swiftly and greedily down my body.
I know what you're doing here,
he murmurs, and his voice has acquired a warm, seductive edge.
Do you?
And my voice cracks.
No, Anna, hold on.
He swallows and takes a step forward. I step back and hold my hands up.
Don't even think about it, Gray,
I whisper menacingly.
You're my wife,
he says softly, threateningly.
I'm the pregnant woman you abandoned yesterday, and if you touch me, I will scream the place down.
His eyebrows rise in disbelief.
You'd scream?
Bloody murder! I narrow my eyes.
No one would hear you,
he murmurs, his gaze intense, and briefly I'm reminded of our morning in Aspen.
No, no, no.
Are you trying to frighten me? I mutter, breathless, deliberately trying to derail him. It works. He stills and swallows.
That wasn't my intention.
He frowns. I can barely breathe. If he touches me, I will succumb. I know the power he wields over me and over my traitorous body. I know. I hang on to my anger.
I had a drink with someone I used to be close to. We cleared the air. I am not going to see her again.
You sought her out?
Not at first. I tried to see Flynn, but found myself at the salon.
And you expect me to believe you're not going to see her again? I cannot contain my fury as I hiss at him. What about the next time I step across some imaginary line? This is the same argument we have over and over again, like we're on some Ixion's wheel. If I fuck up again, are you going to run back to her?
I am not going to see her again,
he says with a chilling finality.
She finally understands how I feel.
I blink at him. What does that mean? He straightens and runs a hand through his hair, exasperated and angry and mute. I try a different tack. Why can you talk to her and not to me?
I was mad at you, like I am now.
You don't say, I snap. Well, I am mad at you right now. Mad at you for being so cold and callous yesterday when I needed you. Mad at you for saying I got knocked up deliberately when I didn't. Mad at you for betraying me. I manage to suppress a sob. His mouth drops open in shock, and he closes his eyes briefly as if I'd slapped him. I swallow. Calm down, Anastasia. I should have kept better track of my shots, but I didn't do it on purpose. This pregnancy is a shock to me, too, I mutter, trying for a modicum of civility. It could be that the shot failed. He glares at me, silent.
You really fucked up yesterday,
I whisper, my anger boiling over.
I've had a lot to deal with over the last few weeks. You really fucked up 3 or 4 weeks ago, or whenever you forgot your shot.
Well, God forbid I should be perfect like you. Oh, stop.
Stop, stop.
We stand glowering at each other.
This is quite a performance, Mrs. Gray,
he whispers. Well, I'm glad that even knocked up, I'm entertaining. He stares at me blankly.
I need a shower, he murmurs.
and I've provided enough of a floor show.
It's a mighty fine floor show,
he whispers. He steps forward, and I step back again. Don't.
I hate that you won't let me touch you.
Ironic, huh?
His eyes narrow once more. We haven't resolved much, have we?
I'd say not, except that I'm moving out of this bedroom.
His eyes flare and widen briefly. She doesn't mean anything to me.
Except when you need her.
I don't need her. I need you.
You didn't yesterday. That woman is a hard limit for me, Christian.
She's out of my life.
I wish I could believe you.
For fuck's sake, Anna.
Please, let me get dressed.
He sighs and runs a hand through his hair once more. I'll see you this evening,
he says, his voice bleak and devoid of feeling. And for a brief moment, I want to take him in my arms and soothe him. But I resist because I'm just too mad. He turns and heads for the bathroom. I stand frozen until I hear the door close. I stagger to the bed and flop down on it. I did not resort to tears, shouting, or murder, nor did I succumb to his sexpertise. I deserve a Congressional Medal of Honor, but I feel so low. Shit. We resolved nothing. We're on the edge of a precipice. Is our marriage at stake here? Why can't he see what a complete and utter ass he's been by running to that woman? And what does he mean when he says he'll never see her again? How on earth am I supposed to believe that? I glance at the radio alarm. 8:30. Shit. I don't want to be late. I take a deep breath. Round two was a stalemate, little blip, I whisper, patting my belly. Daddy may be a lost cause, but I hope not. Why, oh why did you come so early, little blip? Things were just getting good. My lip trembles, but I take a deep, cleansing breath and bring my rolling emotions under control. Come on, let's go kick ass at work. I don't say goodbye to Christian. He's still in the shower when Sawyer and I leave. As I gaze out the darkened windows of the SUV, my composure slips and my eyes water. My mood is reflected in the gray, dreary sky, and I feel a strange sense of foreboding. We didn't actually discuss the baby. I have had less than 24 hours to assimilate the news of Little Blip. Christian has had even less time.
He doesn't even know your name.
I caress my belly and wipe tears from my face.
Mrs. Gray. Sawyer interrupts my reverie. We're here.
Oh, thanks, Sawyer.
I'm going to make a run to the deli, ma'am. Can I get you anything?
No, thank you, no. I'm not hungry. Hannah has my latte waiting for me. I take one sniff of it, and my stomach roils. Can I have tea, please? I mutter, embarrassed. I knew there was a reason I never really liked coffee. Geez, it smells foul.
You okay, Anna?
I nod and scurry into the safety of my office. My BlackBerry buzzes. It's Kate.
Why was Christian looking for you?
She asks with no preamble at all. Good morning, Kate. How are you?
Cut the crap, Steele. What gives?
The Catherine Cavanaugh Inquisition begins. Christian and I had a fight, that's all.
Did he hurt you?
I roll my eyes. Yes, but not the way you're thinking. I cannot deal with Kate at the moment. I know I will cry, and right now, I am so proud of myself for not breaking down this morning.
Kate, I have a meeting. I'll call you back.
Good.
You're all right?
Yes.
No.
I'll call you later, okay?
Okay, Anna. Have it your own way. I'm here for you.
I know, I whisper, and fight the backlash of emotion at her kind words. I am not going to cry. I am not going to cry.
Ray okay?
Yes, I whisper the word.
Oh, Anna,
she whispers.
Don't.
Okay. Talk later. Yes. During the course of the morning, I sporadically check my emails, hoping for word from Christian, but there's nothing. As the day wears on, I realize that he's not going to contact me at all, and that he's still mad. Well, I'm still mad, too. I throw myself into my work, pausing only at lunchtime for a cream cheese and salmon bagel. It's extraordinary how much better I feel once I've eaten something. At 5 o'clock, Sawyer and I set off for the hospital to see Ray. Sawyer is extra vigilant and even over-solicitous. It's irritating. As we approach Ray's room, he hovers over me.
Shall I get you some tea while you visit with your father?
He asks. No thanks, Sawyer. I'll be fine.
I'll wait outside.
He opens the door for me, and I'm grateful to get away from him for a moment. Ray is sitting up in bed, reading a magazine. He's shaved, wearing a pajama top. He looks like his old self.
Hey, Annie.
He grins, and his face falls. Oh, Daddy. I rush to his side, and in a very uncharacteristic move, he opens his arms wide and hugs me.
Annie?
Annie, he whispers.
What is it?
He holds me tight and kisses my hair. As I'm in his arms, I realize how rare these moments between us have been. Why is that? Is that why I like to crawl into Christian's lap? After a moment, I pull away from him and sit down in the chair beside the bed. Ray's brow is furrowed with concern.
Tell your old man.
I shake my head. He doesn't need my problems right now. It's nothing, Dad. You look well. I clasp his hand.
Feeling more like myself, though this leg in a cast is bitchin'.
Bitchin'? His word prompts my smile. He smiles back.
Bitchin' sounds better than itchin'.
Oh, Dad, I am so glad you're okay.
Me too, Annie. I'd like to bounce some grandchildren on this bitchin' knee one day. Wouldn't want to miss that for the world.
I blink at him. Shit, does he know? And I fight the tears that prick the corners of my eyes.
You and Christian getting along?
We had a fight, I whisper, trying to speak past the knot in my throat. We'll work it out. He nods.
He's a fine man, your husband,
Ray says reassuringly. He has his moments. What did the doctors say? I don't want to talk about my husband right now. He's a painful topic of conversation. Back at Escala, Christian is not home. Christian called and said that he'd be working late, Mrs. Jones informs me apologetically. Oh, thanks for letting me know. Why couldn't he tell me? Geez, he really is taking his sulk to a whole new level. I am briefly reminded of the fight over our wedding vows and the major tantrum he had then. But I'm the aggrieved one here. What would you like to eat? Mrs. Jones has a determined, steely glint in her eye. Pasta. She smiles. Spaghetti? Penne? Fusilli? Spaghetti. Your bolognese. Coming up. And, Anna? You should know, Mr. Gray was frantic this morning when he thought you'd left. He was beside himself. She smiles fondly. Oh. He's still not home by 9. I am sitting at my desk in the library, wondering where he is. I call him.
Anna?
He says, his voice cool. Hi. He inhales softly.
Hi,
he says, his voice lower. Are you coming home?
Later.
Are you in the office?
Yes. Where did you expect me to be?
With her? I'll let you go. We both hang on the line, the silence stretching and tightening between us.
Good night, Anna,
he says eventually. Good night, Christian. He hangs up. Oh, shit. I gaze at my BlackBerry. I don't know what he expects me to do. I'm not going to let him walk all over me. Yes, he's mad.
Fair enough. I'm mad. But we are where we are. I haven't run off loose-lipped to my ex-pedo lover. I want him to acknowledge that that is not an acceptable way to behave. I sit back in my chair, gazing at the billiards table in the library, and recall fun times playing snooker. I place my hand on my belly. Maybe it's just too early. Maybe this is not meant to be. And even as I think that, my subconscious is screaming, "No!" If I terminate this pregnancy, I will never forgive myself or Christian. Oh, Blip, what have you done to us? I can't face talking to Kate. I can't face talking to anyone. I text her, promising to call soon. By 11, I can no longer keep my eyelids open. Resigned, I head up to my old room. Curling up beneath the duvet, I finally let myself go, sobbing into my pillow, great, heaving, unladylike sobs of grief. My head is heavy when I wake. Crisp fall light shines through the great windows of my room. Glancing at my alarm, I see it's 7:30. My immediate thought is, where's Christian? I sit up and swing my legs out of bed. On the floor beside the bed is Christian's silver gray tie, my favorite. It wasn't there when I went to bed last night. I pick it up and stare at it, caressing the silky material between my thumbs and forefingers, then hug it against my cheek. He was here, watching me sleep, and a glimmer of hope sparks deep inside me. Mrs. Jones is busy in the kitchen when I arrive downstairs. "Good morning," she says brightly. "Morning. Christian?" I ask. Her face falls. "He has already left." So he did come home. I need to check, even though I have his tie as evidence. "He did," she pauses. "Anna, please forgive me for speaking out of turn, but don't give up on him. He's a stubborn man." I nod, and she stops. I'm sure my expression tells her I do not want to discuss my errant husband right now. When I arrive at work, I check my emails. My heart leaps into overdrive when I see there's one from Christian. From Christian Gray. Subject, Portland. Date, September 15th, 2011. 6:45. To Anastasia Gray. "Anna, I am flying down to Portland today. I have some business to conclude with WSU. I thought you would want to know." Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. Oh, tears prick my eyes. That's it? My stomach flips. Shit, I am going to be sick. I race to the powder room and make it just in time, depositing my breakfast into the toilet. I sink to the floor of the cubicle and put my head in my hands. Could I be any more miserable? After a while, there's a gentle knock on the door. "Anna?" It's Hannah. "Fuck." "Yes." "Are you okay?" "I'll be out in a moment." "Boyce Fox is here to see you." "Shit." "Show him into the meeting room. I'll be there in a minute." "Do you want some tea?" "Please." After my lunch, another cream cheese and salmon bagel, which I managed to keep down, I sit staring listlessly at my computer, looking for inspiration and wondering how Christian and I are going to resolve this huge problem. My BlackBerry buzzes, making me jump. I glance at the screen. It's Mia. Jeez, that's all I need, her gushing and enthusiasm. I hesitate, wondering if I could just ignore it. But courtesy wins out. "Mia!" I answer brightly.
"Well, hello there, Anna. Long time no speak."
The male voice is familiar.
Fuck!
My scalp prickles, and all the hair on my body stands to attention as adrenaline floods through my system and my world stops spinning. It's Jack Hyde. Chapter 22.
"Jack!" My voice has disappeared, choked by fear. How is he out of jail? Why does he have Mia's phone?
The blood drains from my face, and I feel dizzy.
You do remember me,
he says, his tone soft. I sense his bitter smile. Yes, of course. My answer is automatic as my mind races.
You're probably wondering why I called you.
Yes.
Hang up. Don't hang up. I've been having a chat with your little sister-in-law.
What? Mia? No.
What have you done?
I whisper, trying to quell my fear.
Listen here, you prick-teasing, gold-digging whore. You fucked up my life. Gray fucked up my life. You owe me. I have the little bitch with me now. And you, that cocksucker you married, and his whole fucking family are going to pay.
Hyde's contempt and bile shock me.
His family? What the hell?
What do you want?
I want his money. I really want his fucking money. If things had been different, it could have been me. So you're going to get it for me. I want $5 million today.
Jack, I don't have access to that kind of money. He snorts his derision.
You have 2 hours to get it. That's it. 2 hours. Tell no one or this little bitch gets it. Not the cops, not your prick of a husband, not his security team. I will know if you do. Understand?
He pauses and I try to respond, but panic and fear seal my throat.
You understand?
He shouts.
Yes,
I whisper.
Or I will kill her.
I gasp.
Keep your phone with you. Tell no one or I'll fuck her up before I kill her. You have 2 hours.
Jack, I need longer. 3 hours. How do I know that you have her? The line goes dead. I gape in horror at the phone, my mouth parched with fear, leaving the nasty metallic taste of terror.
Mia.
He has Mia. Or does he? My mind whirs at the obscene possibility and my stomach roils again. I think I'm going to be sick. But I inhale deeply, trying to steady my panic, and the nausea passes. My mind rockets through the possibilities. Tell Christian? Tell Taylor? Call the police? How will Jack know? Does he actually have Mia? I need time. Time to think. But I can accomplish that only by following his instructions. I grab my purse and head for the door. Hannah, I have to go out. I am not sure how long I'll be. Cancel my appointments this afternoon. Let Elizabeth know I have to deal with an emergency.
Sure, Anna. Everything okay?
Hannah frowns, concern etched on her face as she watches me flee.
Yes,
I call back distractedly, hurrying toward reception where Sawyer is waiting. Sawyer. He leaps up from the armchair at the sound of my voice and frowns when he sees my face.
I'm not feeling well. Please take me home.
Sure, ma'am. Do you want to wait here while I get the car?
No, I'll come with you. I'm in a hurry to get home.
I gaze out the window in stark terror as I go over my plan. Get home, change, find a checkbook, escape from Ryan and Sawyer somehow, go to bank. Hell, how much room does $5 million take up? What will it weigh? Will I need a suitcase? Should I telephone the bank in advance?
Mia. Mia. What if he doesn't have Mia? How can I check?
If I call Grace, it will raise her suspicions and possibly endanger Mia. He said he would know. I glance at the back window of the SUV. Am I being followed? My heart races as I examine the cars following us. They look innocuous enough.
Oh, Sawyer, drive faster, please.
My eyes flicker to meet his in the rearview mirror, and his brow creases. Sawyer presses a button on his Bluetooth headset to answer a call.
T, I wanted to let you know Mrs. Gray is with me.
Sawyer's eyes meet mine once more before he looks back at the road and continues.
She's unwell. I'm taking her back to Escala.
I see. Sir.
Sawyer's eyes flick from the road to mine in the rearview mirror again.
Yes.
He agrees and hangs up. Taylor? I whisper. He nods. He's with Mr. Gray?
Yes, ma'am.
Sawyer's look softens in sympathy. Are they still in Portland?
Yes, ma'am.
Good. I have to keep Christian safe. My hand strays down to my belly and I rub it consciously. And you, little blip. Keep you both safe. Can we hurry, please? I'm not feeling well.
Yes, ma'am.
Sawyer presses the accelerator and our car glides through the traffic. Mrs. Jones is nowhere to be seen when Sawyer and I arrive at the apartment. Since her car is missing from the garage, I assume she's running errands with Ryan. Sawyer heads for Taylor's office while I bolt to Christian's study. Stumbling in panic around his desk, I wrench open the drawer to find the checkbooks. Layla's gun slides forward into view. I feel an incongruous twinge of annoyance that Christian has not secured this weapon. He knows nothing about guns. Geez, he could get hurt. After a moment's hesitation, I grab the pistol, check to ensure it's loaded, and tuck it into the waistband of my black slacks. I may need it. I swallow hard. I've only ever practiced on targets. I've never fired a gun at anyone. I hope Ray will forgive me. I turn my attention to tracking down the right checkbook. There are five, and only one is in the names of C. Gray and Mrs. A. Gray. I have about $54,000 in my own account. I have no idea how much money is in this one. But Christian must be good for $5 million, surely. Perhaps there's money in the safe? Crap, I have no idea of the number. Didn't he mention the combination was in his filing cabinet? I try the cabinet, but it's locked. Shit. I'll have to stick to plan A. I take a deep breath and, in a more composed but determined manner, stride to our bedroom. The bed has been made, and for a moment, I feel a pang. Perhaps I should have slept here last night. What is the point of arguing with someone who, by their own admission, is 50 shades? He's not even talking to me now. No, I do not have time to think about this. Quickly, I change out of my slacks, pulling on jeans, a hooded sweatshirt, and a pair of sneakers, and put the gun in the waistband of my jeans at my back. From the closet, I fish out a large, soft duffel bag. Will $5 million fit into this? Christian's gym bag is lying there on the floor. I open it, expecting to find it full of dirty laundry. But no, his gym kit is clean and fresh. Mrs. Jones does indeed get everywhere. I dump the contents onto the floor and stuff his gym bag into my duffel. There, that should do it. I check that I have my driver's license as identification for the bank and check the time. It's been 31 minutes since Jack called. Now I just have to get out of Escala without Sawyer seeing me. I make my way slowly and quietly to the foyer, aware of the CCTV camera, which is trained on the elevator. I think Sawyer's still in Taylor's office. Cautiously, I open the foyer door, making as little noise as possible. Shutting it quietly behind me, I stand on the very threshold, up against the door, out of the view of the CCTV lens. I fish my cell phone out of my purse and call Sawyer.
Mrs. Gray.
Sawyer, I'm in the room upstairs. Will you give me a hand with something? I keep my voice low, knowing he's just down the hallway on the other side of this door.
I'll be right with you, ma'am,
he says. And I hear his confusion. I've never telephoned him for help before. My heart is in my throat, pounding in a jarring, frenetic rhythm. Will this work? I hang up and listen as his footsteps cross the hallway and go up the stairs. I take another deep, steadying breath and briefly contemplate the irony of escaping from my own home like a felon. Once Sawyer's reached the upstairs landing, I race to the elevator and punch the call button. The doors slide open with a too loud ping that announces the elevator is ready. I dash inside and frantically stab the button for the basement garage. After an agonizing pause, the doors slowly start to slide shut, and as they do, I hear Sawyer's cries.
Mrs. Gray!
Just as the elevator doors close, I see him skid into the foyer.
Anna!
He shouts in disbelief. But he's too late, and he disappears from view. The elevator sinks smoothly down to the garage level. I have a couple of minutes' start on Sawyer, and I know he'll try to stop me. I glance longingly at my R8 as I rush to the Saab, open the door, toss the duffel bag onto the passenger seat, and slide into the driver's seat. I start the car, and the tires squeal as I race to the entrance, and wait 11 agonizing seconds for the barrier to lift. The instant it's clear, I drive out, catching sight of Sawyer in my rearview mirror as he dashes out of the service elevator into the garage. His bewildered, injured expression haunts me as I turn off the ramp onto 4th Avenue. I let out my long-held breath. I know Sawyer will call Christian or Taylor, but I'll deal with that when I have to. I don't have time to dwell on it now. I squirm uncomfortably in my seat, knowing in my heart of hearts that Sawyer's probably lost his job. Don't dwell. I have to save Mia. I have to get to the bank and collect $5 million. I glance in the rearview mirror, nervously anticipating the sight of the SUV bursting forth from the garage, but as I drive away, there is no sign of Sawyer. The bank is sleek, modern, and understated. There are hushed tones, echoing floors, and pale green etched glass everywhere. I stride to the information desk.
May I help you, ma'am?
The young woman gives me a bright, insincere smile, and for a moment, I regret changing into jeans. I'd like to withdraw a large sum of money. Ms. Insincere smile arches an even more insincere eyebrow.
You have an account with us?
She fails to hide her sarcasm.
Yes,
I snap. My husband and I have several accounts here. His name is Christian Gray. Her eyes widen fractionally, and insincerity gives way to shock. Her eyes sweep up and down me once more, this time with a combination of disbelief and awe.
This way, ma'am,
she whispers, and leads me to a small, sparsely furnished office walled with more green-etched glass.
Please, take a seat.
She gestures to a black leather chair by a glass desk bearing a state-of-the-art computer and phone.
How much will you be withdrawing today, Mrs. Gray?
She asks pleasantly. $5 million. I look her straight in the eye as if I ask for this amount of cash every day. She blanches.
I see. I'll fetch the manager. Oh, forgive me for asking, but do you have ID?
I do, but I'd like to speak to the manager.
Of course, Mrs. Gray.
She scurries out. I sink into the seat, and a wave of nausea washes over me as the gun presses uncomfortably into the small of my back. Not now. I can't be sick now. I take a deep, cleansing breath, and the wave passes. Nervously, I check my watch. 2:25. A middle-aged man enters the room. He has a receding hairline, but wears a sharp, expensive charcoal suit and matching tie. He holds out his hand.
Mrs. Gray, I'm Troy Whelan.
He smiles, we shake, and he sits down at the desk opposite me.
My colleague tells me you'd like to withdraw a large amount of money.
That's correct. $5 million. He turns to his sleek computer and taps in a few numbers.
We normally ask for some notice for large amounts of money.
He pauses and flashes me a reassuring but supercilious smile.
Fortunately, however, we hold the cash reserve for the entire Pacific Northwest.
He boasts. Geez, is he trying to impress me? Mr. Whelan, I'm in a hurry. What do I need to do? I have my driver's license and our joint account checkbook. Do I just write a check?
First things first, Mrs. Gray. May I see the ID?
He switches from jovial show-off to serious banker. Here, I hand over my license.
Mrs. Gray, this says Anastasia Steele.
Oh, shit. Oh, yes,
I'll call Mr. Gray.
Oh, no, that won't be necessary.
Shit.
I must have something with my married name. I rifle through my purse. What do I have with my name on it? I pull out my wallet, open it, and find a photograph of Christian and me on the bed in Fair Lady's cabin. I can't show him that. I dig out my black Amex. Here.
Mrs. Anastasia Gray.
Whelan reads.
Yes, that should do.
He frowns.
This is highly irregular, Mrs. Gray.
Do you want me to let my husband know that your bank has been less than cooperative? I square my shoulders and give him my most forbidding stare. He pauses, momentarily reassessing me, I think.
You'll need to write a check, Mrs. Gray.
Sure. This account? I show him my checkbook, trying to quell my pounding heart.
That'll be fine. I'll also need you to complete some additional paperwork, if you'll excuse me for a moment.
I nod, and he rises and stalks out of the office. Again, I release my held breath. I had no idea this would be so difficult. Clumsily, I open my checkbook and pull a pen out of my purse. Do I just make it out to cash? I have no idea. With shaking fingers, I write, $5 million. 5000000. Oh, God. I hope I'm doing the right thing. Mia. Think of Mia. I can't tell anyone. Jack's chilling, repugnant words haunt me. Tell no one, or I'll fuck her up before I kill her. Mr. Whelan returns, pale-faced and sheepish.
Mrs. Gray, your husband wants to speak with you.
He murmurs and points to the phone on the glass table between us.
What? No. He's on line one. Just press the button. I'll be outside.
He has the grace to look embarrassed. Benedict Arnold has nothing on Whelan. I scowl at him, feeling the blood drain from my face again as he shuffles out of the office.
Shit, shit, shit!
What am I going to say to Christian? He'll know. He'll intervene. He's a danger to his sister. My hand trembles as I reach for the phone. I hold it against my ear, trying to calm my erratic breathing, and press the button for line one. Hi, I murmur, trying in vain to steady my nerves.
You're leaving me?
Christian's words are an agonized, breathless whisper.
What? No!
My voice mirrors his. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no! How can he think that? The money? He thinks I'm going because of the money? And in a moment of horrific clarity, I realize the only way I'm going to keep Christian at arm's length, out of harm's way, and to save his sister, is to lie.
Yes,
I whisper, and searing pain lances through me, tears springing to my eyes. He gasps, almost a sob.
Anna, I...
He chokes.
No. My hand clutches my mouth as I stifle my warring emotions. Christian, please, don't.
I fight back tears.
You're going?
He says.
Yes.
But why the cash? Was it always the money?
His tortured voice is barely audible.
No. Tears roll down my face.
No, I whisper.
Is $5 million enough?
Oh, please, stop.
Yes.
And the baby?
His voice is a breathless echo.
What?
My hand moves from my mouth to my belly.
I'll take care of the baby,
I murmur.
My little blip. Our little blip.
This is what you want?
No!
Yes. He inhales sharply.
Take it all,
he hisses.
Christian,
I sob.
It's for you. For your family. Please, don't.
Take it all, Anastasia.
Christian!
And I nearly cave, nearly tell him about Jack, about Mia, about the ransom.
Just trust me, please, I silently beg him.
I'll always love you.
His voice is hoarse. He hangs up.
Christian! No! I love you too!
And all the stupid shit that we put each other through over the last few days fades into insignificance. I promised I'd never leave him. I am not leaving you. I am saving your sister. I slump into the chair, weeping copiously into my hands. I am interrupted by a timid knock on the door. Whelan enters, though I haven't acknowledged him. He looks everywhere but at me. He's mortified.
You called him, you bastard.
I glare at him.
Your husband has agreed to liquidate $5 million worth of his assets, Mrs. Gray. This is highly irregular, but as our main client, he was insistent. Very insistent.
He pauses and flushes, then frowns at me, and I don't know if it's because Christian is being highly irregular or that Whelan doesn't know how to deal with a weeping woman in his office.
Are you all right?
He asks. Do I look all right? I snap.
I'm sorry, ma'am. Some water?
I nod sullenly. I have just left my husband. Well, Christian thinks I have. My subconscious purses her lips.
Because you told him so?
I'll have my colleague bring you some while I prepare the money, if you could just sign here, ma'am, and make the check out to cash and sign that, too.
He places a form on the table. I scrawl my signature along the dotted line of the check, then the form. Anastasia Gray. Teardrops fall on the desk, narrowly missing the paperwork.
I'll take those, ma'am. It will take us about half an hour to prepare the money.
I quickly check my watch. Jack said 2 hours. That should take us to 2 hours. I nod to Whelan, and he tiptoes out of the office, leaving me to my misery. A few moments, minutes, hours later, I don't know. Miss Insincere Smile re-enters with a carafe of water and a glass.
Mrs. Gray,
she says softly as she places the glass on the desk and fills it. Thank you. I take the glass and drink gratefully. She exits, leaving me with my jumbled, frightened thoughts. I will fix things with Christian somehow, if it's not too late. At least he's out of the picture. Right now, I have to concentrate on Mia. Suppose Jack is lying. Suppose he doesn't have her. Surely I should call the police. Tell no one or I'll fuck her up before I kill her. I can't. I sit back in the chair, feeling the reassuring presence of Layla's pistol at my waist, digging into my back. Who would have thought I'd ever feel grateful that Layla once pulled a gun on me? Oh, Ray, I'm so glad you taught me how to shoot.
Ray, I gasp. He'll be expecting me to visit this evening.
Perhaps I can simply dump the money with Jack. He can run while I take Mia home. Oh, this sounds absurd. My BlackBerry jumps to life. Your love is king filling the room.
Oh, no. What does Christian want?
To twist the knife in my wounds? Was it always the money?
Oh, Christian, how could you think that?
Anger flares in my gut. Yes, anger. It helps. I send the call to voicemail. I'll deal with my husband later. There's a knock on the door.
Mrs. Gray?
It's Whelan.
The money is ready.
Thank you. I stand up and the room spins momentarily. I clutch the chair.
Mrs. Gray, are you feeling okay?
I nod and give him a back off now, Mr. Stare. I take another deep, calming breath. I have to do this. I have to do this. I must save Mia. I pull the hem of my hooded sweatshirt down, concealing the butt of the pistol in the back of my jeans. Mr. Whelan frowns but holds open the door, and I propel myself forward on shaking limbs. Sawyer is waiting at the entrance, scanning the public area.
Shit!
Our eyes meet, and he frowns at me, gauging my reaction. Oh, he's mad. I hold up my index finger in a "with you in a minute" gesture. He nods and answers a call on his cell phone.
Shit, I bet that's Christian.
I turn abruptly, almost colliding with Whelan right behind me, and bolt back into the little office.
Mrs. Gray?
Whelan sounds confused as he follows me back in. Sawyer could blow this whole plan. I gaze up at Whelan. There's someone out there I don't want to see. Someone following me. Whelan's eyes widen.
Do you want me to call the police?
No!
Holy fuck, no. What am I going to do? I glance at my watch. It's nearly 3:15. Jack will call at any moment.
Think, Anna,
think. Wheeling gazes at me in growing desperation and bewilderment. He must think I'm crazy.
You are crazy, my subconscious snaps.
I need to make a call. Could you give me some privacy, please?
Certainly,
Whelan answers, grateful, I think, to leave the room. When he's closed the door, I call Mia's cell phone with trembling fingers.
Well, if it isn't my paycheck.
Jack answers scornfully. I don't have time for this bullshit. I have a problem.
I know. Your security followed you to the bank.
What? How the hell does he know?
You'll have to lose him. I have a car waiting at the back of the bank. Black SUV. A Dodge. You have 3 minutes to get there.
The Dodge? It may take longer than 3 minutes. My heart leaps into my throat once more.
You're bright for a gold-digging whore, Gray. You figure it out, and dump your cell phone once you reach the vehicle. Got it, bitch?
Yes.
Say it, he snaps.
I've got it. He hangs up.
Shit.
I open the door to find Whelan waiting patiently outside. Mr. Whelan, I'll need some help taking the bags to my car. It's parked outside at the back of the bank. Do you have an exit at the rear? He frowns.
We do, yes, for staff.
Can we leave that way? I can avoid the unwelcome attention at the door.
As you wish, Mrs. Gray. I'll have two clerks help with the bags and two security guards to supervise, if you could follow me.
I have one more favor to ask you.
By all means, Mrs. Gray.
2 minutes later, my entourage and I are out on the street, heading over to the Dodge. Its windows are blacked out, and I can't tell who's at the wheel. But as we approach, the driver's door swings open, and a woman clad in black with a black cap pulled low over her face climbs gracefully out of the car.
Elizabeth, from the office. What the hell?
She moves to the rear of the SUV and opens the trunk. The two young bank clerks carrying the money sling the heavy bags into the back.
Mrs. Gray.
She has the nerve to smile as if we are off on a friendly jaunt.
Elizabeth?
My greeting is arctic. Nice to see you outside work. Mr. Whelan clears his throat.
Well, it's been an interesting afternoon, Mrs. Gray,
he says, and I am forced to observe the social niceties of shaking his hand and thanking him while my mind reels.
Elizabeth? Why is she mixed up with Jack?
Whelan and his team disappear back into the bank, leaving me alone with the head of personnel at SIP, who's involved in kidnapping, extortion, and very possibly other felonies.
Why?
Elizabeth opens the rear passenger door and ushers me in.
Your phone, Mrs. Gray?
She asks, watching me warily. I hand it to her, and she tosses it into a nearby trash can.
That will throw the dogs off the scent,
she says smugly.
Who is this woman?
Elizabeth slams my door shut and climbs into the driver's seat. I glance anxiously behind me as she pulls out into traffic, going east. Sawyer is nowhere to be seen.
Elizabeth, you have the money. Call Jack. Tell him to let Mia go.
I think he wants to thank you in person.
Shit!
I glare at her stonily in the rearview mirror. She pales and an anxious scowl mars her otherwise lovely face.
Why are you doing this, Elizabeth? I thought you didn't like Jack.
She glances at me again briefly in the mirror, and I see a fleeting look of pain in her eyes.
Anna, we'll get along just fine if you keep your mouth shut.
But you can't do this. This is so wrong.
Quiet,
she says, but I sense her unease.
Does he have some kind of hold on you?
I ask. Her eyes shoot to mine, and she slams on the brakes, throwing me forward so hard that I hit my face against the headrest of the front seat.
I said, be quiet, she snarls, and I suggest you put on your seatbelt.
And in that moment, I know that he does. Something so awful that she's prepared to do this for him. I wonder briefly what that could be. Theft from the company? Something from her private life? Something sexual? I shudder at the thought.
Christian said that none of Jack's PAs would talk. Perhaps it's the same story with all of them. That's why he wanted to fuck me, too. Bile rises in my throat with revulsion at the thought. Elizabeth heads away from downtown Seattle and up into the hills to the east. Before long, we're driving through residential streets. I catch sight of one of the street signs, South Irving Street. She takes a sharp left onto a deserted street with a dilapidated children's playground on one side and a large concrete parking lot flanked by a row of squat, empty brick buildings on the other. Elizabeth pulls into the parking lot and stops outside the last of the brick units. She turns to me. "Showtime," she murmurs. My scalp prickles as fear and adrenaline course through my body. "You don't have to do this," I whisper back. Her mouth flattens into a grim line, and she climbs out of the car. "This is for Mia. This is for Mia," I quickly pray. "Please let her be okay. Please let her be okay."
"Get out," Elizabeth snaps, yanking the rear passenger door open.
Shit. As I clamber out, my legs are shaking so hard I wonder if I can stand. The cool late afternoon breeze carries the scent of the coming fall and the chalky, dusty smell of derelict buildings.
"Well, looky here."
Jack emerges from a small, boarded-up doorway on the left of the building. His hair is short. He's removed his earrings, and he's wearing a suit.
A suit?
He ambles toward me, oozing arrogance and hate. My heart rate spikes.
"Where's Mia?"
I stammer, my mouth so dry I can hardly form the words.
"First things first, bitch,"
Jack sneers, coming to a halt in front of me. I can practically taste his contempt.
"The money?"
Elizabeth is checking the bags in the trunk.
"There's a hell of a lot of cash here,"
she says in awe, zipping and unzipping each bag.
"And her cell?"
"In the trash."
"Good,"
Jack snarls, and from nowhere he lashes out, backhanding me hard across the face. The ferocious, unprovoked blow knocks me to the ground, and my head bounces with a sickening thud off the concrete. Pain explodes in my head. My eyes fill with tears, and my vision blurs as the shock of the impact resonates, unleashing agony that pulses through my skull. I scream a silent cry of suffering and shocked terror.
"Oh no! Little blip!"
Jack follows through with a swift, vicious kick to my ribs, and my breath is blasted from my lungs by the force of the blow. Scrunching my eyes tightly, I try to fight the nausea and pain, to fight for a precious breath.
"Little blip! Little blip! Oh, my little blip!"
"That's for SIP, you fucking bitch!"
Jack screams. I pull my legs up, huddling into a ball and anticipating the next blow.
"No, no, no!"
"Jack!" Elizabeth screeches. "Not here! Not in broad daylight, for fuck's sake!"
He pauses.
"The bitch deserves it!"
He gloats to Elizabeth. And it gives me one precious second to reach around and pull the gun from the waistband of my jeans. Shakily, I aim at him, squeeze the trigger, and fire. The bullet hits him just above the knee, and he collapses in front of me, crying out in agony, clutching his thigh as his fingers redden with blood.
"Fuck!"
Jack bellows. I turn to face Elizabeth, and she's gaping at me in horror and raising her hands above her head. She blurs. Darkness closes in.
Shit!
She's at the end of a tunnel. Darkness consuming her. Consuming me. From far away, all hell breaks loose. Cars screeching, brakes, doors, shouting, running, footsteps. The gun drops from my hand.
"Anna!"
Christian's voice. Christian's voice. Christian's agonized voice.
"Mia! Save Mia!"
"Anna!"
Darkness. Peace. Chapter 23. There is only pain. My head, my chest, burning pain. My side, my arm.
Pain. Pain and hushed words in the gloom. Where am I? Though I try, I cannot open my eyes. The whispered words become clearer, a beacon in the darkness.
Her ribs are bruised, Mr. Gray, and she has a hairline fracture to her skull, but her vital signs are stable and strong.
Why is she still unconscious?
Mrs. Gray has had a major contusion to her head, but her brain activity is normal, and she has no cerebral swelling. She'll wake when she's ready. Just give her some time.
And the baby?
The words are anguished, breathless.
The baby's fine, Mr. Gray.
Oh, thank God.
The words are a litany, a prayer.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, my. He's worried about the baby. The baby? Little Blip. Of course. My little Blip. I try in vain to move my hand to my belly. Nothing moves. Nothing responds.
And the baby?
Oh, thank God. Little Blip is safe.
And the baby? Oh, thank God.
He cares about the baby.
And the baby? Oh, thank God.
He wants the baby. Oh, thank God. I relax, and unconsciousness claims me once more, stealing me away from the pain. Everything is heavy and aching. Limbs, head, eyelids. Nothing will move. My eyes and mouth are resolutely shut, unwilling to open, leaving me blind and mute and aching. As I surface from the fog, consciousness hovers, a seductive siren just out of reach. Sounds become voices.
I'm not leaving her.
Christian, he's here. I will myself to wake. His voice is strained, an agonized whisper.
Christian, you should sleep. No, Dad. I want to be here when she wakes up. I'll sit with her. It's the least I can do after she saved my daughter.
Mia!
How's Mia? She's groggy, scared, and angry. It'll be a few hours before the Rohypnol is completely out of her system. Christ. I know. I'm feeling seven kinds of foolish for relenting on her security. You warned me, but Mia is so stubborn. If it wasn't for Anna here... We all thought Hyde was out of the picture, and my crazy, stupid wife. Why didn't she tell me?
Christian's voice is full of anguish.
Christian, calm down. Anna's a remarkable young woman. She was incredibly brave. Brave and headstrong and stubborn and stupid.
His voice cracks.
Hey,
Carrick murmurs.
Don't be so hard on her or yourself, son. I'd better get back to your mom. It's after 3 in the morning, Christian. You really should try to sleep.
The fog closes in. The fog lifts, but I have no sense of time.
If you don't take her across your knee, I sure as hell will. What the hell was she thinking? Trust me, Ray. I might just do that.
Dad, he's here. I fight the fog. Fight, but I spiral down once more into oblivion. No.
Detective, as you can see, my wife is in no state to answer any of your questions.
Christian is angry.
She's a headstrong young woman, Mr. Gray. I wish she'd killed the fucker. That would have meant more paperwork for me, Mr. Gray. Miss Morgan is singing like the proverbial canary. Hyde's a real twisted son of a bitch. He has a serious grudge against your father and you.
The fog surrounds me once more, and I'm dragged down, down. No!
What do you mean you weren't talking?
It's Grace. She sounds angry. I try to move my head, but I'm met with a resounding, listless silence from my body.
What did you do?
Mom.
Christian, what did you do?
I was so angry.
It's almost a sob. No. Hey. The world dips and blurs, and I'm gone. I hear soft, garbled voices.
You told me you'd cut all ties.
Grace is talking. Her voice is quiet, admonishing.
I know.
Christian sounds resigned.
But seeing her finally put it all in perspective for me, you know, with the child, for the first time I felt what we did, it was wrong.
What she did, darling. Children will do that to you, make you look at the world in a different light.
She finally got the message, and so did I. I hurt Anna.
He whispers. We always hurt the ones we love, darling. You'll have to tell her you're sorry, and mean it, and give her time.
She said she was leaving me.
No, no, no! Did you believe her?
At first, yes.
Darling, you always believe the worst of everyone, including yourself. You always have. Anna loves you very much, and it's obvious you love her.
She was mad at me.
I'm sure she was. I'm pretty mad at you right now. I think you can only be truly mad at someone you really love.
I thought about it, and she's shown me over and over how much she loves me, to the point of putting her own life in danger.
Yes, she has, darling.
Oh, Mom, why won't she wake up?
His voice cracks.
I nearly lost her.
Christian, there are muffled sobs. No. Oh, the darkness closes in. No.
It's taken 24 years for you to let me hold you like this. I know, Mom. I'm glad we talked.
Me too, darling. I'm always here. I can't believe I'm going to be a grandmother. Grandma!
Sweet oblivion beckons.
His stubble softly scrapes the back of my hand as he squeezes my fingers.
Oh, baby, please come back to me. I'm sorry. Sorry for everything. Just wake up. I miss you. I love you.
I try. I want to see him. But my body disobeys me, and I fall asleep once more. I have a pressing need to pee. I open my eyes. I'm in the clean, sterile environment of a hospital room. It's dark except for a side light, and all is quiet. My head and my chest ache, but more than that, my bladder is bursting. I need to pee. I test my limbs. My right arm smarts, and I notice the IV attached to it on the inside of my elbow. I shut my eyes quickly. Turning my head, I'm pleased that it responds to my will. I open my eyes again. Christian is asleep, sitting beside me and leaning on my bed, with his head on his folded arms. I reach out, grateful once more that my body responds, and run my fingers through his soft hair. He startles awake, raising his head so suddenly that my hand falls weakly back onto the bed.
Hi,
I croak.
Oh, Anna.
His voice is choked and relieved. He grasps my hand, squeezing it tightly and holding it up against his rough, stubbled cheek.
I need to use the bathroom,
I whisper. He gapes, then frowns at me for a moment.
Okay.
I struggle to sit up.
Anna, stay still. I'll call a nurse.
He quickly stands, alarmed, and reaches for a buzzer on the bedside. Please, I whisper. Why do I ache everywhere?
I need to get up.
Geez, I feel so weak.
Will you do as you're told for once?
He snaps, exasperated.
I really need to pee.
I rasp. My throat and mouth are so dry. A nurse bustles into the room. She must be in her 50s, though her hair is jet black. She wears over-large pearl earrings.
Mrs. Gray, welcome back. I'll let Dr. Bartley know you're awake.
She makes her way to my bedside.
My name is Nora. Do you know where you are?
Yes.
Hospital. I need to pee.
You have a catheter.
What? Oh, this is gross. I glance anxiously at Christian, then back to the nurse. Please, I want to get up.
Mrs. Gray?
Please.
Anna?
Christian warns. I struggle to sit up once more.
Let me remove your catheter.
Mr. Gray, I am sure Mrs. Gray would like some privacy. She looks pointedly at Christian, dismissing him.
I'm not going anywhere.
He glares back at her.
Christian, please,
I whisper, reaching out and grasping his hand. Briefly, he squeezes my hand, then gives me an exasperated look.
Please,
I beg.
Fine,
he snaps, and runs his hand through his hair.
You have 2 minutes,
he hisses at the nurse, and he leans down and kisses my forehead before turning on his heel and leaving the room. Christian bursts back into the room 2 minutes later as Nurse Nora is helping me out of bed. I'm dressed in a thin hospital gown. I don't remember being stripped.
Let me take her,
he says and strides toward us.
Mr. Gray, I can manage.
Nurse Nora scolds him. He gives her a hostile glare.
Damn it, she's my wife. I'll take her,
he says through gritted teeth as he moves the IV stand out of his way.
Mr. Gray,
she protests. He ignores her, leans down, and gently lifts me off the bed. I wrap my arms around his neck, my body complaining. Jeez, I ache everywhere. He carries me to the ensuite bathroom while Nurse Nora follows us, pushing the IV stand.
Mrs. Gray, you're too light,
he mutters disapprovingly as he sets me gently on my feet. I sway. My legs feel like jello. Christian flips the light switch, and I'm momentarily blinded by the fluorescent lamp that pings and flickers to life.
Sit before you fall,
he snaps, still holding me. Tentatively, I sit down on the toilet.
Go!
I try to wave him out.
No, just pee, Anna.
Could this be any more embarrassing? I can't! Not with you here!
You might fall.
Mr. Gray!
We both ignore the nurse.
Please,
I beg. He raises his hands in defeat.
I'll stand outside. Door open.
He takes a couple of paces back until he's standing just outside the door with the angry nurse.
Turn around, please,
I ask. Why do I feel so ridiculously shy with this man? He rolls his eyes but complies, and when his back is turned, I let go and savor the relief. I take stock of my injuries. My head hurts, my chest aches where Jack kicked me, and my side throbs where he pushed me to the ground. Plus, I'm thirsty and hungry. Jeez, really hungry. I finish up, thankful that I don't have to get up to wash my hands as the sink is close. I just don't have the strength to stand.
I'm done,
I call, drying my hands on the towel. Christian turns and comes back in, and before I know it, I'm in his arms again. I have missed these arms. He pauses and buries his nose in my hair.
Oh, I've missed you, Mrs. Gray,
he whispers, and with Nurse Nora fussing behind him, he lays me back on the bed and releases me, reluctantly, I think.
If you've quite finished, Mr. Gray, I'd like to check over Mrs. Gray now.
Nurse Nora is mad. He stands back.
She's all yours,
he says in a more measured tone. She huffs at him and then turns her attention back to me.
Exasperating, isn't he?
How do you feel? She asks me, her voice laced with sympathy and a trace of irritation, which I suspect is for Christian's benefit.
Sore and thirsty, very thirsty,
I whisper.
I'll fetch you some water once I've checked your vitals and Dr. Bartley has examined you.
She reaches for a blood pressure cuff and wraps it around my upper arm. I glance anxiously up at Christian. He looks dreadful, haunted even, as if he hasn't slept for days. His hair is a mess. He hasn't shaved for a long time,
and his shirt is badly wrinkled. I frown.
How are you feeling?
Ignoring the nurse, he sits down on the bed out of arm's reach. Confused, achy, hungry.
Hungry?
He blinks in surprise. I nod.
What do you want to eat?
Anything. Soup?
Mr. Gray, you'll need the doctor's approval before Mrs. Gray can eat.
He gazes at her impassively for a moment, then takes his BlackBerry out of his pants pocket and presses a number.
Anna wants chicken soup. Good. Thank you.
He hangs up. I glance at Nora, whose eyes narrow at Christian. Taylor? I ask quickly. Christian nods.
Your blood pressure is normal, Mrs. Gray. I'll fetch the doctor.
She removes the cuff and, without so much as another word, stalks out of the room, radiating disapproval. I think you made Nurse Nora mad.
I have that effect on women.
He smirks. I laugh, then stop suddenly as pain radiates through my chest. Yes, you do.
Oh, Anna, I love to hear you laugh.
Nora returns with a pitcher of water. We both fall silent, gazing at each other as she pours out a glass and hands it to me.
Small sips now,
she warns. Yes, ma'am, I mutter, and take a welcome sip of cool water. Oh, my, it tastes perfect. I take another, and Christian watches me intently. Mia? I ask.
She's safe, thanks to you.
They did have her?
Yes.
All the madness was for a reason. Relief spirals through my body. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God she's okay. I frown. How did they get her?
Elizabeth Morgan,
he says simply. No. He nods.
She picked her up at Mia's gym.
I frown, still not understanding.
Anna, I'll fill you in on the details later. Mia is fine, all things considered. She was drugged. She's groggy now and shaken up, but by some miracle, she wasn't harmed.
Christian's jaw clenches.
What you did,
he runs his hand through his hair,
was incredibly brave and incredibly stupid. You could have been killed.
His eyes blaze a bleak, chilling gray, and I know he's restraining his anger. I didn't know what else to do, I whisper.
You could have told me,
he says vehemently, fisting his hands in his lap. He said he'd kill her if I told anyone. I couldn't take that risk. Christian closes his eyes, dread etched in his face.
I have died 1,000 deaths since Thursday.
Thursday? What day is it?
It's almost Saturday,
he says, checking his watch.
You've been unconscious for more than 24 hours.
Oh. And Jack and Elizabeth?
In police custody, although Hyde is here under guard. They had to remove the bullet you left in him,
Christian says bitterly.
I don't know where in the hospital he is, fortunately, or I'd probably kill him myself.
His face darkens. Oh, shit. Jack is here?
That's for SIP, you fucking bitch.
I pale. My empty stomach convulses, tears prick my eyes, and a deep shudder runs through me.
Hey.
Christian scoots forward, his voice filled with concern. Taking the glass from my hand, he tenderly folds me into his arms.
You're safe now,
he murmurs against my hair, his voice hoarse. Christian, I'm so sorry. My tears start to fall.
Hush.
He strokes my hair, and I weep into his neck. What I said, I was never going to leave you.
Hush, baby. I know.
You do? His admission halts my tears.
I worked it out, eventually. Honestly, Anna, what were you thinking?
His tone is strained. You took me by surprise, I mutter into his shirt collar. When we spoke at the bank, thinking I was leaving you? I thought you knew me better. I've said to you over and over I would never leave.
But after the appalling way I've behaved...
His voice is barely audible, and his arms tighten around me.
I thought for a short time that I'd lost you.
No, Christian, never. I didn't want you to interfere and put Mia's life in danger. He sighs, and I don't know if it's from anger, exasperation, or hurt. How did you work it out? I ask quickly to distract him from his line of thought. He tucks my hair behind my ear.
I'd just touched down in Seattle when the bank called. Last I'd heard, you were ill and going home.
So you were in Portland when Sawyer called you from the car?
We were just about to take off. I was worried about you,
he says softly. You were? He frowns.
Of course I was.
He skirts his thumb over my bottom lip.
I spend my life worrying about you. You know that.
Oh, Christian. Jack called me at the office, I murmur. He gave me 2 hours to get the money, I shrug. I had to leave, and it just seemed the best excuse. Christian's mouth presses into a hard line.
And you gave Sawyer the slip. He's mad at you as well.
As well?
As well as me.
I tentatively touch his face, running my fingers over his stubble. He closes his eyes, leaning into my fingers. Don't be mad at me. Please, I whisper.
I am so mad at you. What you did was monumentally stupid, bordering on insane.
I told you. I didn't know what else to do.
You don't seem to have any regard for your personal safety, and it's not just you now,
he adds angrily. My lip trembles. He is thinking about our little blip. The door opens, startling us both, and a young African-American woman in a white coat over gray scrubs strides in.
Good evening, Mrs. Gray. I'm Dr. Bartley.
She starts to examine me thoroughly, shining a light in my eyes, making me touch her fingers, then my nose, while closing first one eye and then the other, and checking all my reflexes. But her voice is soft and her touch gentle. She has a warm bedside manner. Nurse Nora joins her, and Christian wanders to the corner of the room and makes some calls while the two of them tend to me. It's hard to concentrate on Dr. Bartley, Nurse Nora, and Christian at the same time, but I hear him call his father, my mother, and Kate to say I'm awake. Finally, he leaves a message for Ray. Ray, oh shit. A vague memory of his voice comes back to me. He was here. Yes, while I was still unconscious. Dr. Bartley checks my ribs, her fingers probing gently but firmly. I wince.
These are bruised, not cracked or broken. You were very lucky, Mrs. Gray.
I scowl. Lucky? Not the word I would have chosen. Christian glowers at her, too. He mouths something at me. I think it's foolhardy, but I'm not sure.
I'll prescribe some painkillers. You'll need them for this and for the headache you must have. But all's looking as it should, Mrs. Gray. I suggest you get some sleep. Depending on how you feel in the morning, we may let you go home. My colleague, Dr. Singh, will be attending you then.
Thank you. There's a knock on the door, and Taylor enters, bearing a black cardboard box with Fairmont Olympic emblazoned in cream on the side. Holy cow! Food? Dr. Bartley says, surprised.
Mrs. Gray is hungry, Christian says. This is chicken soup.
Dr. Bartley smiles.
Soup will be fine. Just the broth. Nothing heavy.
She looks pointedly at both of us, then exits the room with Nurse Nora. Christian pulls the wheeled tray over to me, and Taylor places the box on it.
Welcome back, Mrs. Gray.
Hello, Taylor. Thank you.
You're most welcome, ma'am.
I think he wants to say more, but he holds off. Christian is unpacking the box, producing a thermos, soup bowl, side plate, linen napkin, soup spoon, a small basket of bread rolls, silver salt and pepper shakers. The Olympic has gone all out. This is great, Taylor. My stomach is rumbling. I am famished.
Will that be all?
He asks.
Yes, thanks,
Christian says, dismissing him. Taylor nods. Taylor, thank you.
Anything else I can get you, Mrs. Gray?
I glance at Christian. Just some clean clothes for Christian. Taylor smiles.
Yes, ma'am.
Christian glances down at his shirt, bemused. How long have you been wearing that shirt? I ask.
Since Thursday morning.
He gives me a crooked smile. Taylor exits.
Taylor's real pissed at you, too,
Christian adds grumpily, unscrewing the lid of the thermos and pouring creamy chicken soup into the bowl. Taylor, too? But I don't dwell on that as my chicken soup distracts me. It smells delicious, and steam curls invitingly from its surface. I take a taste, and it's everything it promised to be.
Good?
Christian asks, perching on the bed again. I nod enthusiastically and don't stop. My hunger is primal. I pause only to wipe my mouth with the linen napkin. Tell me what happened after you realized what was going on. Christian runs his hand through his hair and shakes his head.
Oh, Anna, it's good to see you eat.
I'm hungry. Tell me. He frowns.
Well, after the bank called and I thought my world had completely fallen apart.
He can't hide the pain in his voice. I stop eating.
Oh, shit. Don't stop eating or I'll stop talking.
He whispers, his tone adamant as he glares at me. I continue with my soup.
Okay, okay. Damn, it tastes good.
Christian's gaze softens and after a beat, he resumes.
Anyway, shortly after you and I had finished our conversation, Taylor informed me that Hyde had been granted bail. How? I don't know. I thought we'd managed to thwart any attempts at bail, but that gave me a moment to think about what you'd said, and I knew something was seriously wrong.
It was never about the money, I snap, suddenly, an unexpected surge of anger flaring in my belly. My voice rises. How could you even think that? It's never been about your fucking money. My head starts to pound, and I wince. Christian gapes at me for a split second, surprised by my vehemence. He narrows his eyes.
Mind your language,
he growls.
Calm down and eat.
I glare mutinously at him.
Anna?
He warns. That hurt me more than anything, Christian. I whisper, almost as much as you seeing that woman. He inhales sharply, as if I've slapped him, and all of a sudden, he looks exhausted. Closing his eyes briefly, he shakes his head, resigned.
I know,
he sighs,
and I'm sorry, more than you know.
His eyes are luminous with contrition.
Please eat. While your soup is still hot.
His voice is soft and compelling, and I do as he asks. He breathes a sigh of relief.
Go on,
I whisper, between bites of the illicit fresh white bread roll.
We didn't know Mia was missing. I thought maybe he was blackmailing you or something. I called you back, but you didn't answer.
He scowls.
I left you a message and then called Sawyer. Taylor started tracking your cell. I knew you were at the bank, so we headed straight there.
I don't know how Sawyer found me. Was he tracking my cell, too?
The Saab is fitted with a tracking device. All our cars are. By the time we got near the bank, you were already on the move, and we followed. Why are you smiling?
On some level, I knew you'd be stalking me.
And that is amusing because...
he asks. Jack had instructed me to get rid of my cell, so I borrowed Whelan's cell, and that's the one I threw away. I put mine into one of the duffel bags so you could track your money. Christian sighs.
Our money, Anna,
he says quietly.
Eat.
I wipe my soup bowl with the last of my bread and pop it into my mouth. For the first time in a long while, I feel replete in spite of our conversation. Finished.
Good girl.
There is a knock on the door, and Nurse Nora enters once more, carrying a small paper cup. Christian clears away my plate and starts putting all the items back into the box. Pain relief. Nora smiles, showing me the white pill in the paper cup. Is this okay to take? You know, with the baby?
Yes, Mrs. Gray. It's Lortab. It's fine. It won't affect the baby.
I nod gratefully. My head is pounding. I swallow it down with a sip of water.
You ought to rest, Mrs. Gray.
Nurse Nora looks pointedly at Christian. He nods. No! You're going? I exclaim, panic setting in. Don't go! We've just started talking. Christian snorts.
If you think for one moment I'm going to let you out of my sight, Mrs. Gray, you are very much mistaken.
Nora huffs, but hovers over me and readjusts my pillows so that I have to lie down.
Good night, Mrs. Gray,
she says, and with one last censorious glance at Christian, she leaves. He raises an eyebrow as she closes the door.
I don't think Nurse Nora approves of me.
He stands by the bed, looking tired, and despite the fact that I want him to stay, I know I should try to persuade him to go home. You need rest too, Christian. Go home. You look exhausted.
I'm not leaving you. I'll doze in this armchair.
I scowl at him, then shift onto my side. Sleep with me. He frowns.
No, I can't.
Why not?
I don't want to hurt you.
You won't hurt me, please, Christian.
You have an IV.
Christian, please. He gazes at me, and I can tell he's tempted. Please? I lift up the blankets, inviting him into the bed.
Fuck it.
He slips off his shoes and socks and gingerly climbs in bed beside me. Gently, he wraps his arm around me, and I lay my head on his chest. He kisses my hair.
I don't think Nurse Nora will be very happy with this arrangement,
he whispers conspiratorially. I giggle, then stop as pain lances through my chest. Don't make me laugh. It hurts.
Oh, but I love that sound,
he says a little sadly, his voice low.
I'm sorry, baby. So, so sorry.
He kisses my hair again and inhales deeply, and I don't know what he's apologizing for, making me laugh or the mess we're in. I rest my hand over his heart, and he gently places his hand on mine. We are both silent for a moment. Why did you go see that woman?
Oh, Anna,
he groans.
You want to discuss that now? Can't we drop this? I regret it, okay?
I need to know.
I'll tell you tomorrow,
he mutters, irritated.
Oh, and Detective Clark wants to talk to you. Just routine. Now go to sleep.
He kisses my hair. I sigh heavily. I need to know why. At least he says he regrets it. That's something, my subconscious agrees. She's in an agreeable mood today, it seems. Ugh, Detective Clark. I shudder at the thought of reliving Thursday's events for him. Do we know why Jack was doing all this? Christian murmurs. I'm soothed by the slow rise and fall of his chest, gently rocking my head, lulling me to sleep as his breathing slows. And while I drift, I try to make sense of the fragments of conversations I heard while I was on the edge of consciousness. But they slither through my mind, remaining steadfastly elusive, taunting me from the edges of my memory. Oh, it's frustrating and exhausting and... Nurse Nora's mouth is pursed and her arms folded in hostility. I put my finger to my lips. Please let him sleep, I whisper, squinting in the early morning light.
This is your bed, not his,
she hisses sternly. I slept better because he was here, I insist, rushing to my husband's defense. Besides, it's true. Christian stirs, and Nurse Nora and I freeze. He mumbles in his sleep.
Don't touch me. No more. Only Anna.
I frown. I have rarely heard Christian talk in his sleep. Admittedly, that might be because he sleeps less than I do. I've only ever heard his nightmares. His arms tighten around me, squeezing me, and I wince.
Mrs. Gray?
Nurse Nora glowers. Please, I beg. She shakes her head, turns on her heel, and leaves, and I snuggle up against Christian again. When I wake, Christian is nowhere to be seen. The sun is blazing through the windows, and I can now really appreciate the room. I have flowers. I didn't notice them the night before. Several bouquets. I wonder idly who they're from. A soft knock distracts me, and Carrick peeks around the door. He beams when he sees that I'm awake.
May I come in?
He asks. Of course. He strides into the room and over to me, his soft, gentle blue eyes assessing me shrewdly. He's wearing a dark suit. He must be working. He surprises me by leaning down and kissing my forehead.
May I sit?
I nod, and he perches on the edge of the bed and takes my hand.
I don't know how to thank you for my daughter, you crazy, brave, darling girl. What you did probably saved her life. I will be forever in your debt.
His voice wavers, filled with gratitude and compassion. Oh, I don't know what to say. I squeeze his hand but remain mute.
How are you feeling?
Better. Sore, I say, for honesty's sake.
Have they given you meds for the pain?
Lore something.
Good. Where's Christian?
I don't know. When I woke up, he was gone.
He won't be far away, I'm sure. He wouldn't leave you while you were unconscious.
I know.
He's a little mad at you, as he should be.
Carrick smirks. Ah, this is where Christian gets it from. Christian is always mad at me.
Is he?
Carrick smiles, pleased, as if this is a good thing. His smile is infectious. How's Mia? His eyes cloud and his smile vanishes.
She's better. Mad as hell. I think anger is a healthy reaction to what happened to her.
Is she here?
No, she's back at home. I don't think Grace will let her out of her sight.
I know how that feels.
You need watching, too, he admonishes. I don't want you taking any more silly risks with your life or the life of my grandchild.
I flush. He knows.
Grace read your chart. She told me. Congratulations.
Thank you. He gazes down at me, and his eyes soften, though he frowns at my expression.
Christian will come around,
he says gently.
This will be the best thing for him. Just give him some time.
I nod. Oh, they've spoken.
I'd better go. I'm due in court.
He smiles and rises.
I'll check in on you later. Grace speaks highly of Dr. Singh and Dr. Bartley. They know what they're doing.
He leans down and kisses me once more.
I mean it, Anna. I can never repay what you've done for us. Thank you.
I look up at him, blinking back tears, suddenly overwhelmed, and he strokes my cheek affectionately. Then he turns on his heel and leaves. Oh my, I'm reeling from his gratitude. Perhaps now I can let the prenup debacle go. My subconscious nods sagely in agreement with me yet again. I shake my head and gingerly get out of bed. I'm relieved to find that I am much steadier on my feet than I was yesterday. In spite of Christian sharing the bed, I have slept well and feel refreshed. My head still aches, but it's a dull, nagging pain, nothing like the pounding yesterday. I'm stiff and sore, but I just need a bath. I feel grimy. I head into the ensuite.
Anna!
Christian shouts. I'm in the bathroom, I call, as I finish brushing my teeth. That feels better. I ignore my reflection in the mirror. Crap, I look a mess. When I open the door, Christian is by the bed, holding a tray of food. He's transformed. Dressed entirely in black, he's shaved, showered, and looks well-rested.
Good morning, Mrs. Gray,
he says brightly.
I have your breakfast.
He looks so boyish and much happier. Wow. I smile broadly as I climb back into bed. He pulls over the tray on wheels and lifts the cover to reveal my breakfast. Oatmeal with dried fruits, pancakes with maple syrup, bacon, orange juice, and Twining's English breakfast tea. My mouth waters. I'm so hungry. I down the orange juice in a few gulps and dig into the oatmeal. Christian sits down on the edge of the bed to watch. He smirks. What? I ask with my mouth full.
I like to watch you eat,
he says. But I don't think that's what he's smirking about.
How are you feeling?
Better, I mutter between mouthfuls.
I've never seen you eat like this.
I glance up at him, and my heart sinks. We have to address the very tiny elephant in the room. It's because I'm pregnant, Christian. He snorts, and his mouth twists into an ironic smile.
If I knew getting you knocked up was going to make you eat, I might have done it earlier.
Christian Gray! I gasp and set the oatmeal down.
Don't stop eating,
he warns. Christian, we need to talk about this. He stills.
What's there to say? We're going to be parents.
He shrugs, desperately trying to look nonchalant, but all I can see is his fear. Pushing the tray aside, I crawl down the bed to him and take his hands in mine. You're scared, I whisper. I get it. He gazes at me, impassive, his eyes wide and all his earlier boyishness stripped away. I am too. That's normal, I whisper.
What kind of father could I possibly be?
His voice is hoarse, barely audible. Oh, Christian. I stifle a sob. One that tries his best? That's all any of us can do.
Anna, I don't know if I can...
Of course you can. You're loving, you're fun, you're strong. You'll set boundaries. Our child will want for nothing. He's frozen, staring at me, doubt etched on his beautiful face. Yes, it would have been ideal to have waited, to have longer, just the two of us. But we'll be three of us, and we'll all grow up together. We'll be a family, our own family, and your child will love you unconditionally, like I do. Tears spring to my eyes.
Oh, Anna,
Christian whispers, his voice anguished and pained.
I thought I'd lost you. Then I thought I'd lost you again, seeing you lying on the ground, pale and cold and unconscious. It was all my worst fears realized. And now, here you are, brave and strong, giving me hope, loving me after all that I've done.
Yes, I do love you, Christian, desperately. I always will. Gently, taking my head between his hands, he wipes my tears away with his thumbs. He gazes into my eyes, gray to blue, and all I see is his fear and wonder and love.
I love you too,
he breathes, and he kisses me sweetly, tenderly, like a man who adores his wife.
I'll try to be a good father,
he whispers against my lips. You'll try, and you'll succeed. And let's face it, you don't have much choice in the matter, because Blip and I are not going anywhere.
Blip?
Blip. He raises his eyebrows.
I had the name Junior in my head.
Junior it is, then.
But I like Blip.
He smiles his shy smile and kisses me once more.
Chapter 24.
Much as I'd like to kiss you all day, your breakfast is getting cold.
Christian murmurs against my lips. He gazes down at me, now amused, except his eyes are darker, sensual. Holy cow, he's switched again. My Mr. Mercurial.
Eat,
he orders, his voice soft. I swallow, a reaction to his smoldering look, and crawl back into bed, avoiding snagging my IV line. He pushes the tray in front of me. The oatmeal is cold, but the pancakes under the cover are fine. In fact, they're mouth-watering. You know, I mutter between mouthfuls, Blip might be a girl. Christian runs his hand through his hair.
Two women, eh?
Alarm flashes across his face, and his dark look vanishes. Oh, crap. Do you have a preference?
Preference?
Boy or girl? He frowns.
Healthy will do,
he says quietly, clearly disconcerted by the question.
Eat,
he snaps, and I know he's trying to avoid the subject. I'm eating, jeez, keep your hair on, Gray. I watch him carefully. The corners of his eyes are crinkled with worry. He said he'll try, but I know he's still freaked out by the baby. Oh, Christian, so am I. He sits down on the armchair beside me, picking up the Seattle Times.
You made the papers again, Mrs. Gray.
His tone is bitter. Again?
The hacks are just rehashing yesterday's story, but it seems factually accurate. You want to read it?
I shake my head. Read it to me. I'm eating. He smirks and proceeds to read the article aloud. It's a report on Jack and Elizabeth, depicting them as a modern-day Bonnie and Clyde. It briefly covers Mia's kidnapping, my involvement in Mia's rescue, and the fact that both Jack and I are in the same hospital. How does the press get all this information? I must ask Kate. When Christian finishes, I say, Please read something else. I like listening to you. He obliges and reads me a report about a booming bagel business, and the fact that Boeing has had to cancel the launch of some plane. Christian frowns as he reads, but listening to his soothing voice as I eat, secure in the knowledge that I am fine, Mia is safe, and my little blip is safe, I feel a precious moment of peace, despite all that has happened over the last few days. I understand that Christian is scared about the baby, but I don't understand the depth of his fear. I resolve to talk to him some more about this, see if I can put his mind at ease. What puzzles me is that he hasn't lacked for positive role models as parents. Both Grace and Carrick are exemplary parents, or so they seem. Maybe it was the bitch troll's interference that damaged him so badly. I'd like to think so, but in truth, I think it goes back to his birth mom, though I'm sure Mrs. Robinson didn't help. I halt my thoughts as I nearly recall a whispered conversation. Damn, it hovers on the edge of my memory from when I was unconscious. Christian talking with Grace. It melts away into the shadows of my mind. Oh, it's so frustrating. I wonder if Christian will ever volunteer the reason he went to see her, or if I'll have to push him. I'm about to ask when there's a knock on the door. Detective Clark makes an apologetic entry into the room. He's right to be apologetic. My heart sinks when I see him.
Mr. Gray, Mrs. Gray, am I interrupting?
Yes, snaps Christian.
Clark ignores him.
Glad to see you're awake, Mrs. Gray. I need to ask you a few questions about Thursday afternoon. Just routine. Is now a convenient time?
Sure, I mumble. But I do not want to relive Thursday's events.
My wife should be resting, Christian bristles. I'll be brief, Mr. Gray. And it means I'll be out of your hair sooner rather than later.
Christian stands and offers Clark his chair, then sits down beside me on the bed, takes my hand, and squeezes it reassuringly. Half an hour later, Clark is done. I've learned nothing new, but I have recounted the events of Thursday to him in a halting, quiet voice, watching Christian go pale and grimace at some parts.
"I wish you'd aimed higher," Christian mutters.
"Might have done womankind a service if Mrs. Gray had,"
Clark agrees.
"What?" "Thank you, Mrs. Gray. That's all for now."
"You won't let him out again, will you?"
"I don't think he'll make bail this time, ma'am."
"Do we know who posted his bail?"
Christian asks.
"No, sir. It was confidential."
Christian frowns, but I think he has his suspicions. Clark rises to leave, just as Dr. Singh and two interns enter the room. After a thorough examination, Dr. Singh declares me fit to go home. Christian sags with relief.
"Mrs. Gray, you'll have to watch for worsening headaches and blurry vision. If that occurs, you must return to the hospital immediately."
I nod, trying to contain my delight at going home. As Dr. Singh leaves, Christian asks her for a quick word in the corridor. He keeps the door ajar as he asks her a question. She smiles.
"Yes, Mr. Gray, that's fine."
He grins and returns to the room a happier man. "What was all that about?"
"Sex,"
he says, flashing a wicked grin.
"Oh, I blush."
"And?"
"You're good to go,"
he smirks. "Oh, Christian." "I have a headache," I smirk right back.
"I know. You'll be off limits for a while. I was just checking."
"Off limits?" I frown at the momentary stab of disappointment I feel. I'm not sure I want to be off limits. Nurse Nora joins us to remove my IV. She glares at Christian. I think she's one of the few women I've met who is oblivious to his charms. I thank her when she leaves with my IV stand.
"Shall I take you home?"
Christian asks. "I'd like to see Ray first."
"Sure."
"Does he know about the baby?"
"I thought you'd want to be the one to tell him. I haven't told your mom, either."
"Thank you," I smile, grateful that he hasn't stolen my thunder.
"My mom knows,"
Christian adds.
"She saw your chart. I told my dad, but no one else. Mom said couples normally wait for 12 weeks or so. To be sure."
He shrugs. "I'm not sure I'm ready to tell Ray."
"I should warn you. He's mad as hell. Said I should spank you."
"What?" Christian laughs at my appalled expression.
"I told him I'd be only too willing to oblige."
"You didn't!" I gasp, though an echo of a whispered conversation tantalizes my memory. "Yes, Ray was here while I was unconscious." He winks at me.
"Here, Taylor brought you some clean clothes. I'll help you dress."
As Christian predicted, Ray is furious. I don't ever remember him being this mad. Christian has wisely decided to leave us alone. For such a taciturn man, Ray fills his hospital room with his invective, berating me for my irresponsible behavior. I am 12 years old again. "Oh, Dad, please calm down. Your blood pressure is not up to this."
"And I've had to deal with your mother,"
he grumbles, waving both of his hands in exasperation. "Dad, I'm sorry."
"And poor Christian. I've never seen him like that. He's aged. We've both aged years over the past couple of days."
"Ray, I'm sorry."
"Your mother's waiting for your call,"
he says in a more measured tone. I kiss his cheek, and finally he relents from his tirade. "I'll call her. I really am sorry. But thank you for teaching me to shoot." For a moment, he regards me with ill-concealed paternal pride.
"I'm glad you can shoot straight,"
he says, his voice gruff.
"Now go on home and get some rest."
"You look well, Dad." I try to change the subject.
"You look pale."
His fear is suddenly evident. His look mirrors Christian's from last night, and I grasp his hand. "I'm okay. I promise I won't do anything like that again." He squeezes my hand and pulls me into a hug.
"If
anything happened to you?
He whispers, his voice hoarse and low. Tears prick my eyes. I am not used to displays of emotion from my stepfather. Dad, I'm good. Nothing that a hot shower won't cure. We leave through the rear exit of the hospital to avoid the paparazzi gathered at the entrance. Taylor leads us to the waiting SUV. Christian is quiet as Sawyer drives us home. I avoid Sawyer's gaze in the rearview mirror, embarrassed that the last time I saw him was at the bank when I gave him the slip. I call my mom, who sobs and sobs. It takes most of the journey home to calm her down, but I succeed by promising that we'll visit soon. Throughout my conversation with her, Christian holds my hand, brushing his thumb across my knuckles. He's nervous. Something's happened. What's wrong? I ask, when I'm finally free from my mother.
Welch wants to see me.
Welch? Why?
He's found something out about that fucker Hyde.
Christian's lip curls into a snarl, and a frisson of fear passes through me.
He didn't want to tell me on the phone.
Oh.
He's coming here this afternoon from Detroit.
You think he's found a connection? Christian nods. What do you think it is?
I have no idea.
Christian's brow furrows, perplexed. Taylor pulls into the garage at Escala and stops by the elevator to let us out before he parks. In the garage, we can avoid the attention of the waiting photographers. Christian ushers me out of the car. Keeping his arm around my waist, he leads me to the waiting elevator.
Glad to be home?
He asks. Yes, I whisper. But as I stand in the familiar surroundings of the elevator, the enormity of what I've been through crashes over me, and I start to shake.
Hey.
Christian wraps his arms around me and pulls me close.
You're home. You're safe.
He says, kissing my hair. Oh, Christian. A dam I didn't even know was in place bursts, and I start to sob.
Hush now,
Christian whispers, cradling my head against his chest. But it's too late. I weep, overwhelmed into his t-shirt, recalling Jack's vicious attack.
That's for SIP, you fucking bitch.
Telling Christian I was leaving.
You're leaving me?
And my fear, my gut-wrenching fear for Mia, for myself, and for little Blip. When the doors of the elevator slide open, Christian picks me up like a child and carries me into the foyer. I wrap my arms around his neck and cling to him, keening quietly. He carries me through to our bathroom and gently settles me on the chair.
Bath?
He asks. I shake my head. No.
No, not like Layla. Shower?
His voice is choked with concern. Through my tears, I nod. I want to wash away the grime of the last few days, wash away the memory of Jack's attack.
You gold-digging whore.
I sob into my hands as the sound of the water cascading from the shower echoes off the walls.
Hey,
Christian croons. Kneeling in front of me, he pulls my hands away from my tear-stained cheeks and cups my face in his hands. I gaze at him, blinking away my tears.
You're safe. You both are.
He whispers. Blip and me. My eyes brim with tears again.
Stop now. I can't bear it when you cry.
His voice is hoarse. His thumbs wipe my cheeks, but my tears still flow. I'm sorry, Christian. Just sorry for everything. For making you worry, for risking everything, for the things I said.
Hush, baby, please.
He kisses my forehead.
I'm sorry. It takes two to tango, Anna.
He gives me a crooked smile.
Well, that's what my mom always says. I said things and did things I'm not proud of.
His gray eyes are bleak, but penitent.
Let's get you undressed.
His voice is soft. I wipe my nose with the back of my hand, and he kisses my forehead once more. Briskly, he strips me, taking particular care as he pulls my t-shirt over my head. But my head is not too sore. Leading me to the shower, he peels off his own clothing in record time before stepping into the welcome hot water with me. He pulls me into his arms and holds me for the longest time, as the water gushes over us, soothing us both.
He lets me cry into his chest. Occasionally he kisses my hair, but he doesn't let go. He just rocks me gently beneath the warm water. To feel his skin against mine, his chest hair against my cheek. This man I love, this self-doubting, beautiful man, the man I could have lost through my own recklessness. I feel empty and aching at the thought, but grateful that he's here, still here, despite everything that's happened. He has some explaining to do, but right now I want to revel in the feel of his comforting, protective arms around me, and in that moment it occurs to me, any explanations on his part have to come from him. I can't force him. He's got to want to tell me. I won't be cast as the nagging wife, constantly trying to wheedle information out of her husband. It's just exhausting. I know he loves me. I know he loves me more than he's ever loved anyone. And for now, that's enough. The realization is liberating. I stop crying and step back.
Better?
He asks. I nod.
Good. Let me look at you,
he says, and for a moment I don't know what he means. But he takes my hand and examines the arm I fell on when Jack hit me. There are bruises on my shoulder and scrapes at my elbow and wrist. He kisses each of them. He grabs a washcloth and shower gel from the rack, and the sweet, familiar scent of jasmine fills my nostrils.
Turn around.
Gently, he proceeds to wash my injured arm, then my neck, my shoulders, my back, and my other arm. He turns me sideways and traces his long fingers down my side. I wince as they skate over the large bruise at my hip. Christian's eyes harden and his lips thin. His anger is palpable as he whistles through his teeth. It doesn't hurt, I murmur to reassure him. Blazing gray eyes meet mine.
I want to kill him. I nearly did,
he whispers cryptically. I frown, then shiver at his bleak expression. He squirts more shower gel on the washcloth, and with tender, aching gentleness, he washes my side and my behind, then, kneeling, moves down my legs. He pauses to examine my knee. His lips brush over the bruise before he returns to washing my legs and my feet. Reaching down, I caress his head, running my fingers through his wet hair. He stands, and his fingers trace the outline of the bruise on my ribs where Jack kicked me.
Oh, baby,
he groans, his voice filled with anguish, his eyes dark with fury. I'm okay. I pull his head down to mine and kiss his lips. He is hesitant to reciprocate, but as my tongue meets his body stirs against me.
No,
he whispers against my lips, and he pulls back.
Let's get you clean.
His face is serious. Damn, he means it. I pout, and the atmosphere between us lightens in an instant. He grins and kisses me briefly.
Clean, he emphasizes. Not dirty.
I like dirty.
Me too, Mrs. Gray, but not now. Not here.
He grabs the shampoo, and before I can persuade him otherwise, he's washing my hair. I love clean, too. I feel refreshed and reinvigorated, and I don't know if it's from the shower, the crying, or my decision to stop hassling Christian about everything. He wraps me in a large towel and drapes one around his hips while I gingerly dry my hair. My head aches, but it's a dull, persistent pain that is more than manageable. I have some painkillers from Dr. Singh, but she's asked me not to use them unless I have to. As I dry my hair, I think about Elizabeth. I still don't understand why Elizabeth was involved with Jack.
I do,
Christian mutters darkly. This is news. I frown up at him, but I'm distracted. He's drying his hair with a towel, his chest and shoulders still wet with beads of water that glint beneath the halogens. He pauses and smirks.
Enjoying the view?
How do you know? I ask, trying to ignore that I've been caught staring at my own husband.
That you're enjoying the view?
He teases. No, I scold. About Elizabeth.
Detective Clark hinted at it.
I give him my tell-me-more expression, and another nagging memory from when I was unconscious surfaces. Clark was in my room. I wish I could remember what he said.
Hyde had videos. Videos of all of them. On several USB flash drives.
What? I frown, my skin tightening across my forehead.
Videos of him fucking her and fucking all his PAs.
Oh.
Exactly. Blackmail material. He likes it rough.
Christian frowns, and I watch confusion followed by disgust cross his face. He pales as his disgust turns to self-loathing. Of course. Christian likes it rough, too. Don't! The word is out of my mouth before I can stop it. His frown deepens.
Don't what?
He stills and regards me with apprehension. You aren't anything like him. Christian's eyes harden, but he says nothing, confirming that's exactly what he's thinking. You're not. My voice is adamant.
We're cut from the same cloth.
No, you're not, I snap, though I understand why he might think so. His dad died in a brawl in a bar. His mother drank herself into oblivion. He was in and out of foster homes as a kid, in and out of trouble, too, mainly boosting cars, spent time in juvie. I recall the information Christian revealed on the plane to Aspen. You both have troubled pasts, and you were both born in Detroit. That's it, Christian. I fist my hands on my hips.
Anna, your faith in me is touching, especially in light of the last few days. We'll know more when Welch is here.
He is dismissing the subject. Christian! He stops me with a kiss.
Enough.
He breathes, and I remember the promise I made to myself not to hound him for information.
And don't pout,
he adds.
Come, let me dry your hair.
And I know the subject is closed. After dressing in sweatpants and a t-shirt, I sit between Christian's legs as he dries my hair. So, did Clark tell you anything else while I was unconscious?
Not that I recall.
I heard a few of your conversations. The hairbrush stills in my hair.
Did you?
He asks, his tone nonchalant. Yes, my dad, your dad, Detective Clark, your mom.
And Kate?
Kate was there?
Briefly, yes. She's mad at you, too.
I turn in his lap. Stop with the everyone is mad at Anna crap, okay?
Just telling you the truth,
Christian says, bemused by my outburst. Yes, it was reckless, but you know, your sister was in danger. His face falls.
Yes, she was.
Switching off the hairdryer, he puts it down on the bed beside him. He grasps my chin.
Thank you,
he says, surprising me.
But no more recklessness, because next time, I will spank the living shit out of you.
I gasp. You wouldn't.
I would.
He's serious. Holy cow. Deadly serious.
I have your stepfather's permission.
He smirks. He's teasing me. Or is he? I launch myself at him, and he twists so that I fall onto the bed and into his arms. As I land, pain from my ribs shoots through me, and I wince. Christian pales.
Behave,
he admonishes, and for a moment, he's angry. Sorry. I mumble, caressing his cheek. He nuzzles my hand and kisses it gently.
Honestly, Anna, you really have no regard for your own safety.
He tugs up the hem of my t-shirt, then rests his fingers on my belly. I stop breathing.
It's not just you anymore,
he whispers, trailing his fingertips along the waistband of my sweats, caressing my skin. Desire explodes, unexpected, hot, and heavy in my blood. I gasp and Christian tenses, halting his fingers and gazing down at me. He moves his hand up and tucks a stray lock of hair behind my ear.
No,
he whispers. What?
Don't look at me like that. I've seen the bruises, and the answer's no.
His voice is firm, and he kisses my forehead. I squirm. Christian, I whine.
No. Get into bed.
He sits up. Bed?
You need rest.
I need you. He closes his eyes and shakes his head as if it's a great effort of will. When he opens them again, his eyes are bright with his resolve.
Just do as you're told, Anna.
I'm tempted to take off all my clothes, but then I remember the bruises, and I know I won't win that way. Reluctantly, I nod. Okay. I deliberately give him an exaggerated pout. He grins, amused.
I'll bring you some lunch.
You're going to cook? I nearly expire. He has the grace to laugh.
I'm going to heat something up. Mrs. Jones has been busy.
Christian, I'll do it. I'm fine. Geez, I want sex. I can certainly cook. I sit up awkwardly, trying to hide the flinch caused by my smarting ribs.
Bed.
Christian's eyes flash, and he points to the pillow. Join me, I murmur, wishing I were wearing something a little more alluring than sweatpants and a t-shirt.
Anna, get into bed. Now.
I scowl, stand up, and let my pants drop unceremoniously to the floor, glaring at him the whole time. His mouth twitches with humor as he pulls the duvet back.
You heard Dr. Singh. She said rest.
His voice is gentler. I slip into bed and fold my arms in frustration.
Stay,
he says, clearly enjoying himself. My scowl deepens. Mrs. Jones's chicken stew is, without doubt, one of my favorite dishes. Christian eats with me, sitting cross-legged in the middle of the bed. That was very well heated. I smirk and he grins. I'm replete and sleepy. Was this his plan?
You look tired.
He picks up my tray. I am.
Good. Sleep.
He kisses me.
I have some work I need to do. I'll do it in here if that's okay with you.
I nod, fighting a losing battle with my eyelids. I had no idea chicken stew could be so exhausting. It's dusk when I wake. Pale pink light floods the room. Christian is sitting in the armchair, watching me, gray eyes luminous in the ambient light. He is clutching some papers. His face is ashen.
Holy cow!
What's wrong? I ask immediately, sitting up and ignoring my protesting ribs.
Welch has just left.
Oh, shit. And?
I lived with the fucker,
he whispers. Lived? With Jack? He nods, his eyes wide. You're related?
No. Good God, no.
I shuffle over and pull the duvet back, inviting him into bed beside me, and to my surprise, he doesn't hesitate. He kicks off his shoes and slides in alongside me. Wrapping one arm around me, he curls up, resting his head in my lap. I'm stunned. What's this? I don't understand, I murmur, running my fingers through his hair and gazing down at him. Christian closes his eyes and furrows his brow as if he's straining to remember.
After I was found with a crack whore, before I went to live with Carrick and Grace, I was in the care of Michigan State. I lived in a foster home, but I can't remember anything about that time.
My mind reels. A foster home? This is news to both of us. For how long? I whisper.
2 months or so. I have no recollection.
Have you spoken to your mom and dad about it?
No.
Perhaps you should. Maybe they could fill in the blanks. He hugs me tightly.
Here.
He hands me the papers, which turn out to be 2 photographs. I reach over and switch on the bedside light so I can examine them in detail. The first photo is of a shabby house with a yellow front door and a large gabled window in the roof. It has a porch and a small front yard. It's an unremarkable house. The second photo is of a family. At first glance, an ordinary blue-collar family, a man and his wife,
I think, and their children. The adults are both dressed in dowdy, overwashed blue t-shirts. They must be in their 40s. The woman has scraped back blonde hair, and the man a severe buzz cut, but they are both smiling warmly at the camera. The man has his hand draped over the shoulders of a sullen teenage girl. I gaze at each of the children. Two boys, identical twins, about 12, both with sandy blonde hair, grinning broadly at the camera. There's another boy who's smaller with reddish blonde hair, scowling, and hiding behind him, a copper-haired, gray-eyed little boy, wide-eyed and scared, dressed in mismatched clothes and clutching a child's dirty blanket.
Fuck.
This is you, I whisper, my heart lurching into my throat. I know Christian was 4 when his mother died, but this child looks much younger. He must have been severely malnourished. I stifle a sob as tears spring to my eyes.
Oh, my sweet 50.
Christian nods.
That's me.
Welch brought these photos?
Yes. I don't remember any of this.
His voice is flat and lifeless. Remember being with foster parents? Why should you? Christian, it was a long time ago. Is this what's worrying you?
I remember other things, from before and after, when I met my mom and dad, but this, it's like there's a huge chasm.
My heart twists and understanding dawns. My darling control freak likes everything in its place, and now he's learned he's missing part of the jigsaw. Is Jack in this picture?
Yes, he's the older kid.
Christian's eyes are still screwed shut, and he's clinging to me as if I'm a life raft. I run my fingers through his hair while I gaze at the older boy, who is glaring, defiant, and arrogant at the camera. I can see it's Jack, but he's just a kid, a sad 8 or 9-year-old hiding his fear behind his hostility. A thought occurs to me. When Jack called to tell me he had Mia, he said if things had been different, it could have been him. Christian closes his eyes and shudders.
That fucker.
You think he did all this because the Greys adopted you instead of him?
Who knows?
Christian's tone is bitter.
I don't give a fuck about him.
Perhaps he knew we were seeing each other when I went for that job interview. Perhaps he planned to seduce me all along. Bile rises in my throat.
I don't think so.
Christian mutters, his eyes now open.
The searches he did on my family didn't start until a week or so after you began your job at SIP. Barney knows the exact dates. And Anna, he fucked all his assistants and taped them.
Christian closes his eyes and tightens his grip on me once more. Suppressing the tremor that runs through me, I try to recall my various conversations with Jack when I first started at SIP. I knew deep down he was bad news, yet I ignored all my instincts. Christian's right. I have no regard for my own safety. I remember the fight we had about me going to New York with Jack. Jeez, I could have ended up on some sordid sex tape. The thought is nauseating. And in that moment, I recall the photographs Christian kept of his submissives. Oh, shit. We're cut from the same cloth. No, Christian, you're not. You're nothing like him. He's still curled around me like a small boy. Christian, I think you should talk to your mom and dad. I am reluctant to move him, so I shift and slide back into the bed until we are eye to eye. A bewildered gray gaze meets mine, reminding me of the child in the photograph. Let me call them, I whisper. He shakes his head. Please. I beg. Christian stares at me, pain and self-doubt reflected in his eyes as he considers my request. Oh, Christian, please.
I'll call them,
he whispers. Good. We can go see them together, or you can go, whichever you prefer.
No, they can come here.
Why?
I don't want you going anywhere.
Christian, I'm up for a car journey.
No,
His voice is firm, but he gives me an ironic smile.
Anyway, it's Saturday night. They're probably at some function.
Call them. This news has obviously upset you. They might be able to shed some light. I glance at the radio alarm. It's almost 7 in the evening. He regards me impassively for a moment.
Okay,
he says, as if I've issued him a challenge. Sitting up, he picks up the bedside phone. I wrap my arm around him and rest my head on his chest as he makes the call.
Dad?
I register his surprise that Carrick has answered the phone.
Anna's good. We're home. Welch has just left. He found out the connection. The foster home in Detroit. I don't remember any of that.
Christian's voice is almost inaudible as he mutters the last sentence. My heart constricts once more. I hug him, and he squeezes my shoulder.
Yeah. You will? Great.
He hangs up.
They're on their way.
He sounds surprised, and I realize that he's probably never asked them for help. Good. I should get dressed. Christian's arm tightens around me.
Don't go.
Okay. I snuggle into his side again, stunned by the fact that he's just told me a great deal about himself, entirely voluntarily. As we stand at the threshold of the great room, Grace wraps me gently in her arms.
Anna, Anna, darling Anna, she whispers, saving two of my children. How can I ever thank you?
I blush, touched and embarrassed in equal measure by her words. Carrick hugs me too, kissing my forehead. Then Mia grabs me, squashing my ribs. I wince and gasp, but she doesn't notice.
Thank you for saving me from those assholes.
Christian scowls at her.
Mia, careful. She's in pain.
Oh, sorry.
I'm good, I mutter, relieved when she releases me. She looks fine, impeccably dressed in tight black jeans and a pale pink frilly blouse. I'm glad I'm wearing my comfortable wrap dress and flats. At least I look reasonably presentable. Racing over to Christian, Mia curls her arm around his waist. Wordlessly, he hands Grace the photo. She gasps, her hand flying to her mouth to contain her emotion, as she instantly recognizes Christian. Carrick wraps his arm around her shoulders as he, too, examines it.
Oh, darling!
Grace caresses Christian's cheek. Taylor appears.
Mr. Gray, Miss Kavanaugh, her brother, and your brother are coming up, sir.
Christian frowns.
Thank you, Taylor,
he mutters, bemused.
I called Elliot and told him we were coming over.
Mia grins.
It's a welcome home party.
I sneak a sympathetic glance at my poor husband as both Grace and Carrick glare at Mia in exasperation.
We'd better get some food together, I declare. Mia, will you give me a hand? Oh, I'd love to.
I usher her toward the kitchen area as Christian leads his parents into his study. Kate is apoplectic with righteous indignation that's aimed at me and Christian, but most of all, Jack and Elizabeth.
What were you thinking, Anna?
She shouts as she confronts me in the kitchen, causing all eyes in the room to turn and stare.
Kate, please, I've had the same lecture from everyone,
I snap back. She glares at me. And for 1 minute, I think I'm going to be subjected to a Catherine Kavanaugh How Not to Succumb to Kidnappers lecture, but instead, she folds me in her arms.
Geez, sometimes you don't have the brains you were born with, Steele,
she whispers. As she kisses my cheek, there are tears in her eyes.
Kate, I've been so worried about you.
Don't cry, you'll set me off. She stands back and wipes her eyes, embarrassed, then takes a deep breath and composes herself.
On a more positive note, we've set a date for our wedding. We thought next May? And, of course, I want you to be my matron of honor. Oh, Kate! Wow! Congratulations!
Crap!
Little blip. Junior.
What is it? She asks, misinterpreting my alarm.
I'm just so happy for you. Some good news for a change.
I wrap my arms around her and pull her into a hug.
Shit, shit, shit. When is blip due?
Mentally, I calculate my due date. Dr. Green said I was 4 or 5 weeks, so sometime in May?
Shit.
Elliot hands me a glass of champagne.
Oh, shit.
Christian emerges from his study, looking ashen, and follows his parents into the great room. His eyes widen when he sees the glass in my hand.
Kate?
He greets her coolly.
Christian?
She is equally cool. I sigh.
Your meds, Mrs. Gray.
He eyes the glass in my hand. I narrow my eyes. Damn it, I want a drink. Gray smiles as she joins me in the kitchen, collecting a glass from Elliot on the way.
A sip will be fine,
she whispers with a conspiratorial wink at me, and lifts her glass to clink mine. Kristen scowls at both of us until Elliot distracts him with news of the latest match between the Mariners and the Rangers. Carrick joins us, putting his arms around us both, and Grace kisses his cheek before joining Mia on the sofa.
How is he?
I whisper to Carrick as he and I stand in the kitchen watching the family lounge on the sofa. I note with surprise that Mia and Ethan are holding hands.
Shaken,
Carrick murmurs to me, his brow furrowing, his face serious.
He remembers so much of his life with his birth mother. Many things I wish he didn't. But this...
He stops.
I hope we've helped. I'm glad he called us. He said you told him to.
Carrick's gaze softens. I shrug and take a hasty sip of champagne.
You're very good for him. He doesn't listen to anyone else.
I frown. I don't think that's true. The unwelcome specter of the bitch troll looms large in my mind. I know Christian talks to Grace, too. I heard him. Again, I feel a moment's frustration as I try to fathom their conversation in the hospital, but it still eludes me.
Come and sit down, Anna. You look tired. I'm sure you weren't expecting all of us here this evening.
It's great to see everyone, I smile, because it's true. It is great. I'm an only child who has married into a large and gregarious family, and I love it. I snuggle up next to Christian.
One sip,
he hisses at me and takes my glass from my hand. Yes, sir, I bat my lashes, disarming him completely. He puts his arm around my shoulders and returns to his baseball conversation with Elliot and Ethan.
My parents think you walk on water,
Christian mutters as he drags off his t-shirt. I'm curled up in bed watching the floor show. Good thing you know differently, I snort.
Oh, I don't know.
He slips out of his jeans. Did they fill in the gaps for you?
Some. I lived with the Colliers for 2 months while Mom and Dad waited for the paperwork. They were already approved for adoption because of Elliot, but the wait's required by law to see if I had any living relatives who wanted to claim me.
How do you feel about that? I whisper. He frowns.
About having no living relatives? Fuck that. If they were anything like the crack whore.
He shakes his head in disgust.
Oh, Christian, you were a child, and you loved your mom.
He slides on his pajamas, climbs into bed, and gently pulls me into his arms.
It's coming back to me. I remember the food. Mrs. Collier could cook. And at least we know now why that fucker is so hung up on my family.
He runs his free hand through his hair.
Fuck!
He says, suddenly turning to gape at me.
What?
It makes sense now.
His eyes are full of recognition.
What?
Baby Bird. Mrs. Collier used to call me Baby Bird.
I frown. That makes sense?
The note, he says, gazing at me. The ransom note that fucker left. It went something like, Do you know who I am? Because I know who you are, baby bird.
This makes no sense to me at all.
It's from a kid's book. Christ, the Colliers had it. It was called, Are You My Mother?
Shit. His eyes widen.
I loved that book.
Oh, I know that book. My heart lurches. 50.
Mrs. Collier used to read it to me.
I am at a loss as to what to say.
Christ! He knew. That fucker knew.
Will you tell the police?
Yes, I will. Christ knows what Clark will do with that information.
Christian shakes his head as if trying to clear his thoughts.
Anyway, thank you for this evening.
Whoa, gear change. For what?
Catering for my family at a moment's notice.
Don't thank me. Thank Mia and Mrs. Jones. She keeps the pantry well stocked. He shakes his head as if in exasperation. At me? Why?
How are you feeling, Mrs. Gray?
Good. How are you feeling?
I'm fine.
He frowns, not understanding my concern. Oh, in that case... I trail my fingers down his stomach to his oh-so-happy trail. He laughs and grabs my hand.
Oh, no. Don't get any ideas.
I pout, and he sighs.
Anna, 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 what am I going to do with you?
He kisses my hair. I have some ideas. I squirm beside him and wince as pain radiates through my upper body from my bruised ribs.
Baby, you've been through enough. Besides, I have a bedtime story for you.
Oh?
You wanted to know?
He trails off, closes his eyes, and swallows. All the hair on my body stands on end.
Shit.
He begins in a soft voice.
Picture this. An adolescent boy looking to earn some extra money so he can continue his secret drinking habit.
He shifts onto his side so that we're lying facing each other, and he's gazing into my eyes.
So, I was in the backyard at the Lincolns, clearing some rubble and trash from the extension Mr. Lincoln had just added to their place.
Holy fuck. He's talking. Chapter 25. I can barely breathe. Do I want to hear this? Christian closes his eyes and swallows. When he opens them again, they are bright, but diffident, full of disquieting memories.
It was a hot summer day. I was working hard.
He snorts and shakes his head, suddenly amused.
It was back-breaking work, shifting that rubble. I was on my own, and Mrs. Lincoln appeared out of nowhere and brought me some lemonade. We exchanged small talk, and I made some smart-ass remark, and she slapped me. She slapped me so hard.
Unconsciously, his hand moves to his face, and he caresses his cheek, his eyes clouding at the memory.
Holy shit. But then she kissed me, and when she finished, she slapped me again.
He blinks, seemingly still confounded even after all this time.
I'd never been kissed before, or hit like that.
Oh, she pounced. On a kid.
Do you want to hear this?
Christian asks.
Yes? No?
Only if you want to tell me. My voice is small as I lie facing him, my mind reeling.
I'm trying to give you some context.
I nod in what I hope is an encouraging manner. But I suspect I may look like a statue, frozen and wide-eyed with shock. He frowns, his eyes searching mine, trying to gauge my reaction. Then he turns onto his back and stares up at the ceiling.
Well, naturally, I was confused and angry and horny as hell. I mean, a hot older woman comes on to you like that.
He shakes his head as if he still can't believe it. Hot? I feel queasy.
She went back into the house, leaving me in the backyard. She acted as if nothing had happened. I was at a total loss. So I went back to work, loading the rubble into the dumpster. When I left that evening, she asked me to come back the next day. She didn't mention what had happened. So, the next day, I went back. I couldn't wait to see her again.
He whispers, as if it's a dark confession, because, frankly, it is.
She didn't touch me when she kissed me,
he murmurs, and turns his head to gaze at me.
You have to understand, my life was hell on earth. I was a walking hard-on, 15 years old, tall for my age, hormones raging. The girls at school...
He stops, but I've got the picture. A scared, lonely, but attractive adolescent. My heart twists.
I was angry. So fucking angry at everyone. At myself, my folks. I had no friends. My therapist at the time was a total asshole. My folks, they kept me on a tight leash. They didn't understand.
He stares back up at the ceiling and runs a hand through his hair. I itch to run my fingers through his hair, too, but I stay still.
I just couldn't bear anyone to touch me. I couldn't. Couldn't bear anyone near me. I used to fight. Fuck, did I fight. I got into some god-awful brawls. I was expelled from a couple of schools. But it was a way to let off steam, to tolerate some kind of physical contact.
He stops again.
Well, you get the idea. And when she kissed me, she only grabbed my face. She didn't touch me.
His voice is barely audible. She must have known. Perhaps Grace had told her. Oh, my poor 50. I have to fold my hands beneath my pillow and rest my head on it in order to resist the urge to hold him.
Well, the next day, I went back to the house, not knowing what to expect. And I'll spare you the gory details, but there was more of the same. And that's how our relationship started.
Oh, fuck, this is painful to hear. He shifts again onto his side so he's facing me.
And you know something, Anna? My world came into focus, sharp and clear. Everything. It was exactly what I needed. She was a breath of fresh air, making the decisions, taking all that shit away from me, letting me breathe.
Holy shit.
And even when it was over, my world stayed in focus because of her. And it stayed that way until I met you.
What the hell am I supposed to say to that? Tentatively, he smooths a stray lock of hair behind my ear.
You turned my world on its head.
He closes his eyes, and when he opens them again, they are raw.
My world was ordered, calm, and controlled. Then you came into my life with your smart mouth, your innocence, your beauty, and your quiet temerity. And everything before you was just dull, empty, mediocre. It was nothing.
Oh my.
I fell in love,
he whispers. I stop breathing. He caresses my cheek. So did I murmur, with the little breath I have left. His eyes soften.
I know,
he mouths. You do?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I smile shyly at him. Finally, I whisper. He nods.
And it's put everything into perspective for me. When I was younger, Elena was the center of my world. There was nothing I wouldn't do for her, and she did a lot for me. She stopped my drinking, made me work hard at school. You know, she gave me a coping mechanism I hadn't had before, allowed me to experience things that I never thought I could.
Touch, I whisper. He nods.
After a fashion.
I frown, wondering what he means. He hesitates at my reaction. Tell me, I will him.
If you grow up with a wholly negative self-image, thinking you're some kind of reject, an unlovable savage, you think you deserve to be beaten.
Christian, you are none of those things.
He pauses and runs his hand through his hair.
Anna, it's much easier to wear your pain on the outside.
Again, it's a confession.
Oh.
She channeled my anger.
His mouth presses together in a bleak line.
Mostly inward. I realize that now. Dr. Flynn's been on and on about this for some time. It was only recently that I saw our relationship for what it was. You know, on my birthday.
I shudder as the unwelcome memory of Elena and Christian verbally eviscerating each other at Christian's birthday party surfaces unwelcome in my mind.
For her, that side of our relationship was about sex and control, and a lonely woman finding some kind of comfort with her boy toy.
But you like control, I whisper.
Yes, I do. I always will, Anna. It's who I am. I surrendered it for a brief while. Let someone make all my decisions for me. I couldn't do it myself. I wasn't in a fit state, but through my submission to her, I found myself and found the strength to take charge of my life, take control, and make my own decisions.
Become a dom?
Yes.
Your decision?
Yes.
Dropping out of Harvard?
My decision, and it was the best decision I ever made, until I met you.
Me?
Yes.
His lips quirk up in a soft smile.
The best decision I ever made was marrying you.
Oh my. Not starting your company? He shakes his head. Not learning to fly? He shakes his head.
You,
he mouths. He caresses my cheek with his knuckles.
She knew,
he whispers. I frown. She knew what?
That I was head over heels in love with you. She encouraged me to go down to Georgia to see you, and I'm glad she did. She thought you'd freak out and leave, which you did.
I pale. I'd rather not think about that.
She thought I needed all the trappings of the lifestyle I enjoyed.
The dom? I whisper. He nods.
It enabled me to keep everyone at arm's length, gave me control, and kept me detached, or so I thought. I'm sure you've worked out why,
he adds softly. Your birth mom?
I didn't want to be hurt again, and then you left me.
His words are barely audible.
And I was a mess.
Oh, no.
I've avoided intimacy for so long. I don't know how to do this.
You're doing fine, I murmur. I trace his lips with my index finger. He purses them into a kiss. You're talking to me. Do you miss it? I whisper.
Miss it?
That lifestyle.
Yes, I do.
Oh.
But only insofar as I miss the control it brings, and, frankly, your stupid stunt.
He stops.
That saved my sister.
He whispers, his words full of relief, awe, and disbelief.
That's how I know.
No?
Really know that you love me.
I frown. You do?
Yes. Because you risked so much. For me. For my family.
My frown deepens. He reaches over and traces his finger over the middle of my brow above my nose.
You have a V here when you frown,
he murmurs.
It's very soft to kiss. I can behave so badly. And yet, you're still here.
Why are you surprised I'm still here? I told you I wasn't going to leave you.
Because of the way I behaved when you told me you were pregnant.
He runs his finger down my cheek.
You were right. I am an adolescent.
Oh, shit. I did say that. My subconscious glares at me. His doctor said that. Christian, I said some awful things.
He puts his index finger over my lips.
Hush. I deserved to hear them. Besides, this is my bedtime story.
He rolls onto his back again.
When you told me you were pregnant...
He stops.
I'd thought it would just be you and me for a while. I'd considered children, but only in the abstract. I had this vague idea we'd have a child sometime in the future.
Just one? No, not an only child. Not like me. Perhaps now's not the best time to bring that up.
You are still so young, and I know you're quietly ambitious.
Ambitious? Me?
Well, you pulled the rug out from under me. Christ, was that unexpected. Never in a million years, when I asked you what was wrong, did I expect you to be pregnant.
He sighs.
I was so mad. Mad at you, mad at myself, mad at everyone. And it took me back. That feeling of nothing being in my control. I had to get out. I went to see Flynn, but he was at some school parents' evening.
Christian pauses and arches an eyebrow. Ironic, I whisper. Christian smirks in agreement.
So I walked and walked and walked, and I just found myself at the salon. Elena was leaving. She was surprised to see me, and, truth be told, I was surprised to find myself there. She could tell I was mad and asked me if I wanted a drink.
Oh, shit. We've cut to the chase. My heart doubles in speed. Do I really want to know this? My subconscious glares at me, a plucked eyebrow raised in warning.
We went to a quiet bar I know and had a bottle of wine. She apologized for the way she behaved the last time she saw us. She's hurt that my mom will have nothing to do with her anymore. It's narrowed her social circle, but she understands. We talked about the business, which is doing fine, in spite of the recession. I mentioned that you wanted kids.
I frown. I thought you let her know I was pregnant. He regards me, his face guileless.
No, I didn't.
Why didn't you tell me that? He shrugs.
I never got the chance.
Yes, you did.
I couldn't find you the next morning, Anna, and when I did, you were so mad at me.
Oh, yes. I was.
Anyway, at some point in the evening, about halfway through the second bottle, she leaned over to touch me, and I froze.
He whispers, throwing his arm over his eyes. My scalp tingles. What's this?
She saw that I recoiled from her. It shocked both of us.
His voice is low, too low. Christian, look at me. I tug at his arm and he lowers it, turning to gaze into my eyes. Shit. His face is pale, his eyes wide. What? I breathe. He frowns and swallows. Oh, what isn't he telling me? Do I want to know?
She made a pass at me.
He's shocked. I can tell. All the breath is sucked from my body. I feel winded, and I think my heart has stopped. That fucking bitch troll.
It was a moment, suspended in time. She saw my expression. And she realized how far she'd crossed the line. I said, no, I haven't thought of her like that for years, and besides...
He swallows.
I love you. I told her. I love my wife.
I gaze at him. I don't know what to say.
She backed right off, apologized again, made it seem like a joke. I mean... She said she's happy with Isaac and with the business, and she doesn't bear either of us any ill will. She said she missed my friendship, but she could see that my life was with you now. And how awkward that was, given what happened the last time we were all in the same room. I couldn't have agreed with her more. We said our goodbyes, our final goodbyes. I said I wouldn't see her again, and she went on her way.
I swallow, fear gripping my heart.